It's time for Benedictine Raven Football, heard on your local sports authority, KAIR, Radio 93.7 FM, and streaming on msknews.net. Benedictine Raven football games are brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management. Contact Hamada Wealth Management at 928-443-7536. Stay tuned. The Amberwell Health pregame will begin with the Bank of Atchison Coaches Show featuring head coach Joel Osborne right after these messages.
It's back to school and also to the seasonal routines filled with school time errands and activities. Hi, this is Dr. Brian Casey of Union State Bank of Atchison and also a part-time college educator. As we get busier, Union State Bank makes keeping up with banking convenient and easy. With mobile banking, you can bank wherever you are, and you can pay bills and make transfers online and much more. With text alerts and our new budget bubbles, you'll stay right on track with Union State Bank no matter how busy life gets. NMLS number 654946, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Getting ready for Benedictine football today, and Joe Osborne, head coach of the Ravens, with his coach. It feels like it's been forever. I mean, we only had 1 week off with the open date and the schedule, but gosh, it seems like it's too long.
Yeah, it's been good, but yeah, I agree. We need to get back to playing football, so looking forward to this game against Central Methodist.
A quick look over our shoulder, Culver-Stockton game. Your guys played just a tremendous game. The offense, after missing that first field goal, scores touchdowns on the next four possessions, and you were off to the races.
Yeah, I thought our guys were ready to play. You know, you look at what the defense was able to do to, you know, get stops on Culver, who was leading our conference in points per game at 41, and really our defense held them 17 points throughout the game. So defense and special teams gave us great field position, led to some scores. Offensively, we capitalized. I thought our kids did a good job of executing the game plan. We stayed ahead of the chains. We hit a lot of explosive plays, and we also converted on third downs, which was a key for us. So I was pretty pleased with how we played against Culver. Obviously, when you look at the tape, there's things that we can definitely clean up still, so we're going to try to do that. And you know, now we're into divisional play, you know, and starting in the South, so we're looking forward to that.
Garrett Kettle, 400 yards combined offense. I mean, he continues to have a tremendous season.
Yeah, Garrett did a nice job. I thought he really made some nice plays with his legs, not only just running, but also moving in the pocket, buying himself some time to make some key throws. Like that first touchdown, you know, he was able to shuffle around the pressure, reset his feet, and hit the vertical ball to Gathright. And I thought that was really nice to see. And it's something that he's been working on, him and Laskowski. We've trained basically since I've got here on pocket movement, and that was really good to see that carry over. You know, and then – obviously, the dagger during the game, I thought, was worth 3rd and 15. They just scored a touchdown to cut it to 10 points in the third quarter, and Kettle drops back and scrambles, and all of a sudden he's gone for 63 yards. So that was a heck of a play by him and great protection by our linemen. And they covered us up, but they didn't cover Garrett.
You talked about the defense also, Jalen, another double-digit tackle outing.
Yeah, he had a great performance. I think, you know, obviously, with Jalen's going to be, he would be the first to say this. He's going to credit the guys up front for doing their jobs. But yeah, he did a nice job. And it was good to see our guys fly around and be physical and execute the game plan. You know, there was obviously a few things that we'd like to clean up in terms of a couple drives where they had some explosives on us. But for the most part, we did a nice job.
Coach, we talked about the week off. So how did the team spend the week off? What did you do differently with practice, or was it kind of business as usual?
Yeah, so last week during our bye week, we had Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday practices like we normally do. Tuesday was focused on fundamentals and focusing on ourselves. Wednesday and Thursday, a lot of the same, but we did more good on good. So like, you know, Garrett going against Jalen as far as like our team segments and our 7-on-7 segments, O&D line pass rush, you know, team run segments. So. But then we mixed in a little bit of scout team as well, getting a little bit of a jump start in Central Methodist. And then, you know, that was really good for us. And we feel like we improved a lot during the bye week. And then, you know, this week was a normal week for us.
Coming into divisional play, you mentioned that, these are the big ones in the second half of the season. And Central Methodist, 4-2, they've had a couple of really close wins, like their last game, you know, with William Penn, a one-pointer. But they're a very good team, and they're always good at home.
Yeah, they are. You know, you look at their last two games, they've had two of their better players have not played. The receiver number two did not play in either of those games. And then the number eight, the outside linebacker, did not play. And both those guys are difference makers, and they're back for this week's game. So, you know, they're going to be fully loaded. They're very competitive. You can see on tape when those guys go hard, they can, a couple of those guys can play at a different level. And so we've got to come out and strike while iron's hot and get off to a great start and try to really come out and shock them at their place and see if we can do that. But, you know, everybody's got to do their jobs, and, you know, it's divisional play, so you don't care how ugly it is as long as you go in there and you get a win.
Central Methodist brings back also the defensive back. A lot of teams bring back a lot of guys, but key guys, you know, to work against your pass game, you know, the corners are back, the safeties are back. I mean, they bring back some guys with skills and practice and experience.
Yeah, they've got a lot of experience, and if you watch the tape last year, you can see how physical they were. You know, there were some plays that happened last year that are kind of eye-opening. And so, you know, we've got to come out ready to go. You know, I know one thing, they're going to be ready to play us, and we're playing at their place. And so it's going to be a hostile environment. So we've talked about that all week.
They like to stretch the field, it looks like to me, with, you know, downfield passing. I mean, their yards on completed passes are pretty big numbers.
Yeah, so we've followed their offense the first six games, so I've got to see their quarterback and their receivers and play every game. And their quarterback is dynamite. He does such a great job of extending the play. No one ever gets a clean shot at him. He looks tall and gangly, but he is extremely athletic. He's fast, and then he's got a good arm, and he does a nice job making plays. You know, really what he does is when he scrambles, he's so dangerous because he's not just a runner. He can also throw it. So, you know, we've got to be ready we've got to get to the quarterback and get him hit and get him to the ground. That's what we have to do if we want to be successful on Saturday.
So what I'm kind of hearing is he's a lot like a Garrett.
Yeah, he's bigger, though.
Is that right?
He's bigger. He's 6'6", 210 pounds. So, you know, Culver Stockton had him sacked about eight times, and not one time did they actually get a sack. You know, so that was, you could see on tape, they were very frustrated when they were playing against this guy. And you know, when you watch him against Peru, everybody saw what Peru defensively did to us. They didn't get to him one time. You know, there was multiple times Peru's defensive line got through the line, and the quarterback just got out of it. So he's very hard to get to the ground. He's a good player.
If there's a key to the game, something that you really got to see your guys do, is it the pressure on the quarterback here today?
I think so, defensively. I think it's a big deal because if you can get to him, then it really helps the defensive backs in terms of, you know, the pressure that they're under, you know, especially with number two. Number two is a big receiver that can run. You can see that on tape. You know, there were some key plays in that Peru State game. I know it was a few weeks ago. It was actually week two, but you know, where Peru State's got the quarterback dead to rights, and he gets out of it, and then they let their guard down on number two, and he's running 50 yards down the field uncovered, and the quarterback hits him on the money. So, you know, that's going to be a big key, but also just, I think, you know, if you can eliminate their ability to run the ball, you know, that enforcing them to be in one-dimensional, that'll be big as well. So then we can pin our ears back and rush the passer.
Coach, we appreciate your time. We're anxious to get back. Best of luck to you and the Ravens here today, man.
All right, I appreciate it, Tom.
This flu season, drive-through flu shot events will be held at most Amberwell primary care locations, including Atchison, Hiawatha, Horton, Troy, and Leavenworth. Flu vaccines are free with most insurance plans. In order to help the events run as smoothly as possible, registration is encouraged. Dates and times are limited, so visit amberwellhealth.org. or call 913-370-9839 to register now. The Amberwell Health pregame show continues with the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. Keys to the game right after this.
The Fall Blizzard menu is here at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. The fall menu includes sea salt toffee fudge, Oreo mocha fudge, Choco dipped strawberry, and the Royal Ultimate Choco Brownie. And the featured blizzard of the month is the Reese's Pieces Cookie Dough Blizzard. Find it all at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill.
As we get set for Raven football this afternoon in Fayette, it is now time for your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game. And for me, it's twofold. Number one, you've got to win. Every game from here on out is a must-win for the Ravens if they want to make the national playoff picture But when you boil it down to this game, it's protect Garrett Kettle. This is a Central Methodist defense that thrives on forcing turnovers. They return their entire secondary from last year, and they play a four-man front that gets great pressure on the quarterback. Just a few weeks ago against Peru State, they were able to stack up six sacks on their way to an upset victory over Peru State. So today, for the Ravens, you've got to win, and if you're going to win, you've got to protect the quarterback, Garrett Kettle, today. That's our Dairy Queen Grill and Chill Keys to the Game kickoff, coming up shortly.
KAIR-FM, Horton, Atchison.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill Keys to the Game and the Amberwell Health Pre-Game Show. We will go live to Tom and Gus Counts at the stadium for play-by-play coverage and in-game analysis of Benedictine football in just a few moments.
Are you confused about the stock market? Feel like you are taking too much risk? Do you just feel lost at times on what to do? If you are looking for investment guidance in these uncertain times, Hamada Wealth Management is here to assist you. They believe it is important to not just make money, but preserve it. To schedule your no-cost income and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management.
Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC. Hamada Wealth Management Group and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
It's time for Benedictine Raven football. Four quarters of hard-hitting, action-packed, high-flying intensity. Our coverage of Raven football is brought to you by our proud Raven sports boosters.
Good afternoon and welcome to Fayette, Missouri, where this afternoon on a classically gorgeous mid-October Saturday afternoon, the Benedictine Ravens begin divisional play in the Heart of America Athletic Conference. They're being hosted by Central Methodist. Hello again, everybody. Joseph, he's our producer, engineer, back at the K-Radio Sports Studio. Gus Counts with me here in the booth to my left. Tom Counts, and what a spectacular day. 61 degrees, a little breeze out of the north, an absolutely cloudless sky, and a couple of teams who want a win to start divisional play, and they're both hungry for it.
Yeah, you talk about two teams who finished the North Division. Both of them are 4-2. Both of them at 4-2, so both of them wanting to get things started here in South Divisional play. And for Benedictine, they're going to put their kicking unit out on the field first. Central Methodist won the toss and elected to take the football.
Colin Bruner puts a toe into it. It is high. It is end over end. And it's going to be taken a yard deep. Here comes CMU straight up the field, crossing the 15 to the 20. Gets a couple of blocks across the 25 and up to the 29-yard line. So the Eagles will have an outstanding beginning. Cole Schroeder with the kick return for CMU. It'll be first and 10 Eagles at their own 29-yard line. Central Methodist coming into the ball game today at 4-2. Benedictine coming into the game today, Gus, at 4-2. There are two losses, a couple of good teams at Grandview, 37-10 to begin the season, and then a couple of weeks ago, losing at Culver Stockton. However, two of those CMU wins have been nail biters.
3-0 here at Davis Field.
Ravens are going to shift up front as quarterback Paxton DeLaron will take the snap, hands off into the right side of the line, and there's not much there. Perhaps a yard, no more than that, for Armand Keeley. How about Gavin Spangler? We have been talking about Gavin all season long in the great, great sophomore year this young man out of Katy, Texas is having. Makes that tackle. It'll bring up a second down. We're still going to call it 2nd and 10.
Yeah, Gavin Spangler having a fantastic year. The number two tackler on the team coming in with 35 tackles on the season. Quite a ways behind your leading tackler, Jalen James.
Keeley is going to be on the left hand of quarterback DeLaron. And he, as you heard Coach talk about earlier, there's going to be a penalty for an illegal shift, the left tackle move. He is a talented and young quarterback that possesses the physical tools to be a real, real factor.
Yeah, he's a big guy, right? 6'6", 210 pounds, a freshman out of Camden, Missouri. The kid who just knows how to win, and he's going to be a real nice asset for the Central Methodist team moving forward.
No question about it. Last week, 258 yards and 3 passing touchdowns. Also rushed for nearly 101 more TD. Had a big, big game. We got a couple of great quarterbacks coming together here today. The penalty of 5 makes it a second down and 15 from their own 25-24-yard line for CMU. QB straight back to throw, looking right, throwing right, has his man on a crossing pattern, caught across the 30, hit and down at the 34-yard line. He'll pick up about 10 of that 15 yards, and that was just a bullet, Gus, to his running back, Jackson Hoskins, for Benedict, and the cornerback with the tackle. That was almost more than a slant. That was almost just like a 90 degrees crossing through the gap of the zone kind of a route.
Other games going on around the conference right now. Grandview up on William Penn, 17-0. Still 6.5 minutes left in the second quarter of that one. Clark and Peru State are scoreless with 2 minutes and 20 seconds before the half.
Third down, 4, Central Methodist. Long count, back to throw again. Dino Rock rolling out, being chased. Now pulls the ball down. He's going to be hit as he releases the ball into traffic, and it's going to be batted away and nearly picked off. That was a freshman decision, and it was not a good one. Looking for Cooper Wilson. And Adam Wilbers for Benedictine, nearly with the INT. The Ravens are going to get the ball back on the punt.
Yeah, that time you had a quarterback who's a freshman just trying to extend a play, make something happen. Right now, Central Methodist has an offensive lineman that's a little slow to get up, so the training staff going to be out there. But again, just trying to extend a play, trying to make something happen, and a great job, though, by the wide receiver Cooper Wilson to reach in and knock that ball out of the hands of the strong safety, Adam Wilbers. Benedictine set to return what will be the first punt of the afternoon.
You talk about Adam Wilbers, who's playing strong safety for Benedictine today after getting the start there out of Wardsville, Missouri. He is a product of one of the great programs across Missouri, Helias High School. Offensive lineman coming to the near side is a critical key guy. It is the center, Trenton Byers, a 6'3", 260-pound senior out of Pierce City, Missouri. We'll give him a look at, but now as he motors off, it looks like he's shaking it off a little bit. Seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that because the backup center is Paxton's high school teammate and former center, Cesar Chaparro.
Ravens set to return the punt. Return man is going to be Buteau, standing at his own 30-yard line, kicking it away, Samuel Petrin. Watched him practice. He is good. Takes it at the knees, and this kick is not great. It is end over end, and bouncing. Buteau will take it at the 30-yard line. Gets a nice block, 35, and hit at the 40, and that's it. Buteau played off the block to the wrong side. Jordan Malcolm was down there trying to give him a lead block, but Buteau ran into the middle and into the hands of Manuel Langolas, the senior from Houston, Texas. Ravens, though, will have great field position, first and 10 of their own 39-yard line. Just underway in the ball game, 12:49 to go in the opening quarter, and Benedictine will have its first touch of the football today as Rayshon Mills, Raven running back, stands next to Garrett Kittle. Garrett takes it, drops it, it's on the ground, and the Ravens did a great job of saving that ball. Wow, no, it's not. Central Methodist comes up with it. Garrett Kittle swung the ball out, and on the first play of the game, the Ravens, with a horrible miscue, turn it over, and for Central Methodist, because that was Mohad Kamel.
Yeah, Kamel did a great job. And right there, what the Ravens were trying to do is fake the handoff into the middle to Rayshon Mills, and they were just going to flare it out into the left flat to Jayshon Todd on a wide receiver screen. But the problem was the ball hit Rayshon as he ran by, hits the ground, and Kamel was in the backfield quickly, able to cover it up. The Ravens, one play and turn it over. Central Methodist, after a three and out, here they come back on the field.
How much have we been talking about the value and the importance of turnovers in these games? Here's a handoff and a straight-ahead run. Very little there. And this time it is going to be Manuel Langolas in the backfield with that carry. It'll be the gain of a couple of yards. Second down, 8, just inside the Benedictine 30. Central Methodist coming up with it.
That was a big tackle right there, right? They did it.
Was that it?
Jalen James with the stop now becomes number 2 all-time in Raven tackles with 374 tackles, passing Curtis Coppinger.
He's in some rare air and some great company. Second down, 8, CMU. Congratulations, Jalen. Pass over into the left flat. It's going to be caught at the 25, outrunning the defender down to the 20, getting close to the 15-yard line. Great catch and carry and a first and 10 as Tyler Tierney and Jackson Hoskins with the coverage for Benedictine. Central Methodist looking to take advantage of the Raven turnover. They'll have the football, first and 10, now deep in Benedictine territory at the 16-yard line.
What I like about the way Central Methodist is going about this right now is they're not hurrying things up, and sometimes teams just get in a rush and they really want to get up over the football, take your time. This is borrowed time after the Raven turnover. You've got to come up with a touchdown here.
First and 10 from the 16, motion to the near side. Quarterback straight back to throw, has a man in the corner of the end zone and overshoots him. In the back edge, it is going to be incomplete. Hoskins again, the defender. And Gus, right now, Central Methodist is looking at that redshirt freshman.
Yep, that's exactly what they're doing. It doesn't really matter who's lining up there. That time it was Catavius Taylor, one of the better receivers for Central Methodist. He's their leading receiver coming into today. And that's a guy who hasn't played in a couple weeks for them. But right now, Jackson Hoskins, the freshman, has drawn a tall order over there.
Out for Central Methodist as a receiver, Christopher Williams, a senior out of Beaumont, Texas, number 81 in the slot. Quarterback is back to throw, looks over the middle, has a man who fell with no defender near him, and it's going to go incomplete. Cole Schroeder, the intended receiver, and yes, the official is right there watching him all the way. No defender was anywhere close. He just absolutely stumbled on the carpet. It is going to bring up now a third and a 10 for Central Methodist. Eagles are wanting to throw the football.
So now they're looking at this third and long, and the Ravens can probably put a little more pressure on the freshman quarterback right here and force him into a little quicker decision.
Got a receiver triangle wide to the left side, a single man wide to the right. Staying in the backfield is going to be Keeley. He'll shift over to the right side of quarterback Paxton DeLaron. Now we'll have motion left. QB's back, looking, chased, eludes the defender. He's got room to run if he wants to. 20, 15, 10, out of bounds near the 5-yard line. The Ravens were pursuing him, but Gus, between the secondary dropping back, the front line chasing him, that middle ground was all green.
Yeah, that time the Ravens running man coverage. And so when you run those wide receivers deep, the cornerbacks, linebackers turn their back to the line of scrimmage, and the quarterback did a great job of recognizing it, understanding that he needed to get to the 6 to get the first down. He gets to the 5. It'll be first and goal there.
And again, the Central Methodist 2-deep is so inaccurate. We've got a new guy playing center. He is not the number 2 center. It's going to be Nate Marshall, an offensive lineman. You've got Trenton Byers wanting to come back into the game. He went out injured a moment ago. And quarterback is back. It's first and goal at the 6. All day, throws it into the back of the end zone and missed everyone. It is incomplete.
That time over there in coverage, Josh Morris. But quarterback Paxton DeLaron had to get rid of it quickly as Connor Walker into the backfield to put a hit on him as he lets go of the football. That will stop the clock. I keep wanting to look over here to my right instead of the clock to our left. It'll stop the clock with 10:28 left here in the first quarter of play.
And Trenton Byers, the center, is starting center, is now back in the game for Central Methodist. It is second and goal. Eagles at the Ravens 6-yard line. Benedictine making 3 substitutions defensively. Wing to the left, receivers each way, hand up to the running back, straight ahead, touchdown Central Methodist. Eagles go into the end zone, running the ball right up the gut from 6 yards out. And at 10:23 to go in the opening quarter, Benedictine finds themselves playing from behind.
Yeah, that time Central Methodist, nothing cute. I mean, I think the Ravens expected a pass right there. They started pulling the safeties out of the box, and Central Methodist just ran downhill on a simple base play. Get into the end zone on their second possession of the game. And now, out there to kick the PAT is going to be Petrine.
Right foot, soccer-style kicker. Snap is perfect. The placement there, and the kick is up and good. We got a timeout of the field. 10:23 to go in the opening quarter in Fayette, Missouri. Eagles strike first. Central Methodist 7, Benedictine nothing.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
Let your local Farmers Insurance agent, Sandra Trumpeter, put her experience to work for you. Sandra proudly serves Atchison County families and businesses and is ready to review your existing policies or provide a no-obligation quote today. Call Sandra Trumpeter Agency at 913-367-3232 to get smarter about your insurance. Again, that's Sandra Trumpeter Agency at 913-367-3232. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Central Methodist kicks it away. It's high and over end and very short into what little wind that there is here today, taken by Trey Adger. His return up to the 27-yard line, first and 10, Benedictine, and because the Ravens have not yet completed an offensive play this afternoon. First and 10. See if they can shake that turnover on the first play of the game off. Kettle is back to throw. Fires one into some traffic and nearly picked off. That was right in the hands of Darian Bell. It is incomplete. He was looking for Peyton Hazuga, but Ravens lucky that no one caught that ball.
By the time the Ravens were some speedsters out on the field, they had Gathright, Jayshon Todd, and Trey Adger lined up to the right, and then had over on the left Peyton Hazuga.
Second down, 10, Benedictine. Ravens looking early to establish the ground game. Now they're going to try to throw the ball again over to the left side. It'll be taken by Jayshon at the 30, 35 up the left side, and he'll pick up a first down, getting up to the 40-yard line. And here is the thing about Jayshon Todd. Because if you think you're going to catch him, you're wrong.
Yeah,
you're just wrong.
Jayshon Todd is going to be probably one of the fastest guys in the Heart of America Athletic Conference. And, I think it's going to be really hard to unseat him from, newcomer of the year in the conference this year.
At their own 39, Benedictine with its first down of the game. Defense goes offside. There's the penalty marker. The pass over to the middle is looking for Trey, and it's high and incomplete. But Ravens had a free play right there.
Yeah, I enjoy that. If you're going to get a free play when the defense jumps off sides, throw it deep. Like, make it count. You throw an interception, who cares? It's going to get 5 yards after it's all said and done.
Austin Buteau and Jayshon Todd will check out for Benedict. And they're going to bring in a couple of big receivers. Pete Kadena is going to come wide to the near side. Harry O'Neill is going to be in a slot to the right. You've got Rayshon behind Garrett. It is a first and 5, Benedictine. Handoff is going to go to Mills. He'll go straight ahead, get 2 of those 5 yards. So Rayshon just taking it just off the right side of center Zion Mathis and goes straight ahead for a couple of yards. It is, they're going to give him a good spot. It is second down and short for Benedictine.
Jacob Gathright back in. Harry O'Neill checking out for this, your favorite call, second and short.
Love the second and short. There's nothing you cannot run from here. Benedictine is approaching midfield just a couple of yards away. Garrett turns, talks to Rayshon, takes a snap, nearly drops it, and we've got penalty markers everywhere. And another break for Benedictine is, I thought Garrett was going to lose that ball. May have.
The snap infraction is really what it's going to be again. Your center, Zion Mathis. So, on this second down call, we're going to see Central take out a linebacker, bring in a safety. Now they're going to take out a defensive lineman. So they're going to be in a nickel package on this second and 6.
Benedictine at its own 43-yard line, trailing in the ballgame early on here, 7-0. Here's going to be a jet sweep to the right side and turning the corner to the 45 and hit and spun down just short of the 50-yard line. It is going to be Jacob Gathright, and is it enough?
Sure it is.
Gus is looking across. The officials are looking across. And,
move the
there we go.
There you go.
It's first and 10. Benedictine at their own 49-yard line. We're at 8:27, 6, 5 o'clock continues to roll. 7-0.
Talk about the number of athletes, and we're going to get to this here in a second, that Benedictine runs in and out on every play.
Trips left, one right. Senior quarterback Garrett Kettle back to throw. Steps up in the pocket, throws one over the middle, is taken. Trey, 50, 45. Adger hurdles at the 40, 35. He's close to the 30-yard line. Trey Adger leaped in the air over a defender. And guys, you see players do that, but then fall. He landed on his feet and kept running.
That's that whole world-class track athlete, right? I mean, that was a great job by Trey Adger. He just went over there, kept his feet, picked up the first down, and gets the Ravens all the way down inside the 35. They're going to mark this thing down at the 34. But we talked about the Ravens using a lot of players. How about this? 19 different players have caught a pass this year for Benedictine.
Both Adger and Todd wide to the right side for Benedictine. Garrett is back, looking right, throws out of the backfield, gets it to Rayshon at the 40, and he'll stretch down close to the 30-yard line, marking him at the 31. He'll pick up about 5 on that first down catch and carry.
Yeah, that time just a little swing pass out of the backfield, and great job by Rayshon Mills going downhill. Rayshon
not exactly a pass catcher for the Ravens, but when called upon, he is able to do that. This season, Rayshon Mills, 7 catches for 33 yards. Reed Levi comes in the game. He'll set up on the right side. Reed is a big guy out of Rockhurst High School, 6'4", 2 1/4". Second down, half a dozen for Benedictine. Handoff is going to go. Rayshon loses his footing, gets his balance back, carries the ball inside the 30-yard line and up the hash marks to the 28. That time, London Chambers made the stop on the play for Central Methodist. He is the leading tackler for the Central Methodist team. 46 tackles coming into today's game. But you look up and down this Central Methodist roster, they have sprinkled in quite a few players from Connecticut. Peyton Hazuga comes back in as one of the Benedictine receivers. Elbow trips left. Third down, 3 Ravens inside the Eagle 30-yard line. Long count. Quarterback back, fires over the middle. It is going to be caught for the first down, breaking a tackle at the 20, carrying it down to the 18-yard line. Nice catch and advance of the football for Benedictine. And the Ravens are going to advance the sticks. That was Hazuga, the junior from San Diego, with the carry. Tell you what, last week, 2 catches, 27 yards. And Peyton Hazuga is a guy who's beginning to emerge and beginning to make his place in this offense.
Yeah, they've got him healthy, and he's starting to find that little bit of a niche in this offense.
It is another 1st and 10. Ravens have moved the ball downfield after the touchdown by Central Methodist. And here's a handoff. Rayshon gets it inside the 15, picking up about 5 yards, 14-yard line. And BC now doing a nice job of intermixing the running game and the passing game. And Rayshon, who last week, I think, had his first triple-digit rushing game of the season.
Yeah, Rayshon against Culver Stockton had 33 carries for 102 yards and a touchdown. That last tackle made by Anthony Hernandez of Central Methodist.
They're going to mark him just short of the 15-yard line. Call up a 16, second down for Benedictine. Mills will set over to the left side of the quarterback, stays in the block. QB fires one left side. It's going to be caught at the 10-yard line, putting a hand down, keeping his balance is Trey Azure. He's going to have another first down. It is 1st and goal, BC.
That time, Trey made the first guy miss, then spun through a second would-be tackler, extends forward, picks up the first down, and the Ravens will have it now, 1st and goal, and they're going to mark this thing down at the, what, let's call it 7?
Yeah, I'm calling that, I think 7-yard line. Trey Adger, we saw his great balance when he hurdled that player a moment ago and kept his feet. This time, as he was spinning forward, extends the non-ball carrying hand down, keeps his balance, and is able to move forward downfield, showing just great athletic ability. 1st and goal from the 7. Quarterback Garrett Kittle wraps around, hands off Rayshon to the 5, tries to cut to the middle. He's down to the 4-yard line as he follows Will Crenser downfield. And his defensive tackle, Will Miles, with the tackle for CMU. Will Crenser, the Raven left guard, 6'3", 342-pound sophomore out of Creighton Prep.
And Will Miles out of Rock Island, Illinois, 6'7", 265 out there.
He's a big man to try to work up again. 2nd and goal, Benedictine, and the Ravens are 4 yards out. Motion will come to the right side. An extra blocking back. The handoff is going to go Rayshon. Cuts back into the middle, and the ball pops out, and the Ravens have thrown it away again. Central Methodist comes up with their 2nd takeaway from the Benedictine Butterfinger offense here in the 1st quarter. And at 3:52 to play in the 1st, Will Miles, the guy you just talked about, Gus, comes up with another Raven miscue.
Yeah, and for Rayshon Mills, it's only his 2nd fumble loss this season, but don't it. Kansas City Chiefs fans like have visions of that happening a lot, right? A turnover inside the 5. This thing is down at the 1 where Central Methodist will take over.
1st and 10 Eagles. They lead 7-0 at 3:52 to play here in the 1st quarter in Fayette, Missouri. The weather is beautiful. Not so much for Raven fans right now, as 2 opening quarter turnovers have stymied Benedictine. The first one led to immediately to a Central Methodist tackle. Our touchdown of the 2nd one has led to the Ravens not being able to score inside the 5. 1st down pass will go incomplete, thrown away smartly by Eagle quarterback Paxton DeLaron.
Here's the problem with throwing the ball out of your own end zone right now is if your quarterback holds on to it for any time and you get a holding penalty, you're going to give up 2 points right here. And so if you're Benedictine, you probably have no problem turning those backers loose right here.
Central Methodist going right to left here in this waning opening quarter into what little breeze there is. There's some wind, but it's not a huge factor. Quarterback will take it. Back to throw again, deep, deep in the end zone, and we've got whistles. They will stop the play,
don't
and the official will confirm.
Yes, maybe it can call a timeout.
I don't see anybody heading for the sideline.
68 off about this. Before,
to the goal line. So it's a false start again, 68 of the offense. Well, see, that's another play by the center, you know, maneuvering that football. So it's going to back it up, what, half a length of the football?
Yeah, so they are now a length of a football out of the end zone, basically. Second down and about a dozen from here. Quarterback again is back to throw, fires a bullet over to the right side. It's going to be caught, picking up a first down all the way up to the 11. That was nicely done. Into the right flat, taken by Catavius Taylor, the freshman out of Memphis, Tennessee, a transfer from Fullerton.
That time Jackson Hoskins over there for Benedictine in coverage. And now BC will make a handful of substitutions, and they're going to say that he stepped out just short of the 10. And so it's going to be third and one right now for Central Methodist.
So for CMU, a team that has thrown the ball with abandon in this game, we'll see what they decide to throw here. From their own 9-yard line, third down and a couple, and they will run. And a gaping hole straight up the middle, crossing the 10, crossing the 15, up to the 16, maybe the 17-yard line. There was a massive opening in the left side. Connor Walker and Javi Bloomquist make the stop for Benedictine, but the Ravens give up the first down, and Central Methodist is out of the shadow of their goalpost. 3 minutes to play, first quarter. Eagles in front of Benedictine, 7-0. CMU takes its time. 6'6 quarterback D. LaRond. Single running back there with him. He's thrown and thrown, and he's going to throw again. Now, again, the crossing pattern over the middle is juggled, and they are going to say dropped incomplete at the 15-yard line. Connor Walker, again, coverage for Benedictine. But does for Central Methodist, they see something that they love in the Raven tape because they have run that crossing pattern in this opening quarter, 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, so what is happening is they're finding the void between the linebackers and the safeties. And, again, if you send somebody deep, you can bail out those safeties, and then it opens up just a little more yardage right behind that second level of linebackers.
Second down, 10, CMU at their own 17-yard line. One running back in the backfield, QB straight back again. Chased out, rolling to his left. Running upfield now at the 5, gets back to the 10, and he's going to run out of bounds, and he did the right thing up around the 20-yard line. So he is back around the original line of scrimmage, maybe actually picked up a couple of 3 yards on that carry. He was back in the end zone for a moment as he was running away, but he has excellent speed. And again, because it's 6'6", those long strides, you cover some ground.
Exactly. You're covering a lot of ground and making it look effortless out there for the freshman quarterback. It will now be a third and, I don't know, let's call it 6 for Central Methodist. They're going to send trips to the right, one to the left, have a running back offset to the left hip of the quarterback, Paxton.
Clock stopped with having gone out of bounds at 2:35 left in this opening quarter. 7-0, Eagles in front. It'll run back to throw, stops, pops, goes right side, has his man wide open to the flat, 25 to the 30-yard line, and another CMU first down. What I love about what the Eagles are doing, you need 5 or 6 yards. You don't throw a 30-yard pattern. You throw a 5 or 6 yard pattern.
Well, they need 5 or 6, and they're throwing that 8 to 9 yard pattern, right? Just get a little past the stick so you can come back to the ball if you need to. And right now, Benedictine looking a little confused on defense right now about how they want to handle this.
Ravens with 3 down linemen. 2 minutes left in the first quarter. 1st and 10 Central Methodist, and the Ravens go completely offside. It's a free play. They'll go for the home run, and it is going to be incomplete. So as the markers lay on the ground, Ravens getting across the line of scrimmage about a half a count too quickly. We'll wait and let them sort this out, but I think it was pretty apparent.
On the defense, number 98, 5-yard penalty,
play first down. So the 5-yard penalty, Benedictine getting to switch up their defensive line a little bit, and they're going to bring back into the ballgame Joe Glasser. They're going to bring Isaac Anderson and Will Hurtado. Now, Anderson will check back out, and here comes Joe Burke. So they're going to go with a little more of a pass rushing presence in the middle.
First and five. Central Methodist likes the numbers here. The quarterback back to throw again. He has so much time. This pass over the middle is going to go incomplete because it just sailed a little bit. Looking for Cooper Wilson around the Raymond 40-yard line, but a little air got underneath it, and it carried, and it's incomplete, and it is second and five. Guys, I'm going to revert back to our conversation about the Raven offense, who in two possessions has gotten with two turnovers. This does not look like the Raven offense we've seen in the past 3 weeks that have scored 195 points.
This looks like the Raven offense we saw at Peru, Nebraska.
Exactly what it looks like.
4 weeks ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's concerning right now, early on. See if the Ravens can right the ship. Second down, five. QB, ISO pass over the middle. Again, it's going to be complete to Cooper Wilson. And again, oh, he drops it as he gets hit. But again, Gus, Central Methodist goes back to that cross.
Yeah, so again, they're just crossing right, you know, behind the linebackers in front of the safeties. And that time, Tyler Tierney was able to put a hit on Cooper Wilson and jar that football loose. Last week, against William Penn, 4 for 58 for Cooper Wilson.
Third and five CMU. Quarterback D. Levant is having a great afternoon so far. Tell you what, again, last week, 12 of 23 passing for 258. He's on a pace to beat that by a long shot here today. Third down, five. Back to throw again. Steps up in the pocket. Running. Going to pick up a first down. Plenty more. Crossing the 40, 45, 46 or 7 yard line. Out of bounds into the Benedictine sideline. And in your keys to the game, you said you got to put some pressure on this quarterback while the Ravens are not.
Yeah, I mean, and right there, the quarterback just eluded a couple would-be defenders and able to pick up good yardage. And you know what else he did? Steps out of bounds. Right, he picks up the first down, steps out just shy of midfield. They're going to mark him down back at the 46. But again, he's also not taking many hits right now. And for Central Methodist, they milked this thing all the way down to a minute and a half left in the first.
Central Methodist approaching midfield, leading 7-0 here in the late going of the first quarter. Again, the Raven defense moves. I don't see any penalties this time. Quarterback is back. He stands up in the pocket, has a wide-open receiver in front of the Raven bench across the way. That's another first down inside the Benedictine 40 at the Raven 39-yard line. Trayvon Hards out of Kansas City, Washington High School. Gus, we watched you play high school ball.
Yeah. Trayvon out of the Kansas City Atchison League, able to make the catch on the far sideline. Adam Wilbur comes over to usher him out of bounds, but not before. Central Methodist picks up another first down and four. The Eagles right now, six first downs in the first half, four of those passing, two of those rushing.
First and 10 at the Raven 39. Quarterback back to throw again over the middle. Has a man and missed him at the 20-yard line. Intended receiver downfield, Gus, had beaten the coverage, but it goes incomplete.
That time they were looking for Christopher Williams running right down the seam, the senior out of Beaumont, Texas, and that time the quarterback just put a little too much on it and sailed it incomplete. And another problem with sailing that pass is you can't do that over the middle, or else you're going to find linebackers and safeties really excited to take that football away. And I'm going to guess that's probably why Paxton has 8 interceptions so far.
Yeah, but he's right now doing a great job of standing in, staying in the pocket, letting some good blocking give him time. And those are not deep routes he's been throwing, so he's got plenty of time. Here's a running play, handoff straight up the middle of the 35 to the 30. Another Central Methodist first and 10. Langolis carries the football, and the Houston native advances the chain.
That time, Javai Bloomquist able to make the stop for the Ravens. But again, you got to give a lot of credit right now to Jacoby Bellard, the offensive coordinator for Central Methodist. He is working in a really good run-pass balance. And so when the Benedictine Ravens are kind of back looking for a pass, you run the ball at them. And when they stack the box, you throw the ball over the top. So right now, Central Method is doing a good job of switching up the offense a little bit and keeping the Ravens' defense guessing.
Maybe the last play of the opening quarter. A little wraparound handoff again, the same play right up the center, and another strong result inside the 25, picking up about 5 yards. And Garrett Penn-Vidic for Benedictine with the stop on the play. And if Central Methodist is going to get another playoff, they're going to have to hurry. We're down to 13, now 12 seconds. Look at the size of Trayvon Hards running off the field, and that's going to do it. They're not going to get a playoff. Time out of the field, the first quarter in the book. We're in Fayette, Missouri. We're at Central Methodist 7, Benedictine nothing.
Whether it's normal automotive maintenance like oil changes and wiper replacement, or more serious repairs like starters and alternators, Atchison Auto Parts is your local stop for everything you need to keep your vehicle running at peak performance. Locally owned and operated, you'll recognize the car guys behind the counter, and they'll get you the right part. They carry a line of diesel engine parts, including turbos, injection pumps, and injectors for Duramax, Cummins, and Powerstroke engines. Atchison Auto Parts, your independent Napa dealer at 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Once upon a time, in 1856, there was a small community bank that really valued their customers and worked very hard to serve them. This hometown bank continued this practice year after year. It grew and prospered, and more people became customers. After 165 years, it has remained a strong and secure financial organization. All this time, it never lost sight of what made it strong, their customers. Come and bank happily ever after with Exchange Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Going to have you back with us here in Central Missouri, where CMU leads Benedictine 7-0 going to the second quarter. Joseph producing and engineering in the studio. Gus Counts with me here. Tom Counts, Gus, opening quarter statistics don't look as bad as the scoreboard looks.
Yeah, you take a look at the statistics so far in the first quarter. What? 13 plays for Benedictine, 72 yards for Central Methodist, 23 for 113. But the only thing that really matters at this point is Central Methodist right now leading 7-0 and starting to threaten a little bit.
Continuing to move the football. Quarterback rolls right all day, throws short, and it's going to be caught up on the near side near the 15-yard line and running out of bounds with the ball. Eagles are going to advance to 6 again.
So that's going to be a play that head coach David Callaway, along with Jacoby Ballard, talked to their freshman quarterback about. You had Cooper Wilson running a post on the backside wide open in the back of the end zone.
But either way, I'm looking at the post.
I was going to say, you got to look towards the back and progress forward.
You're right, but he's had so much success with that short passing game that right now that's kind of the bread and butter, and that's where he's been going, and it is working. First and 10 at the 13. QB's back, throws into the end zone, pushing, shoving, incomplete. He was reaching into the corner for Catavius Taylor, but it will go incomplete, second and 10.
That time, Catavius Taylor over here on the near side matched up with Adam Wilbers, the safety, and Taylor looking to create a little room and just couldn't do it.
Just getting it away in the second quarter. Ravens down 7-0, and Central Methodist threatening again. It is second down and 10 at the Raven 12. This series began from their own 2-yard line as the Ravens turned it over as they thought they were going to get into the end zone. Quarterback is back, ISO over the middle, and a leaping effort made. It is incomplete. Just a little bit too far in front of Cooper Wilson as he led him. But again, Gus, it was that same crossing pattern, and it was wide open.
Yeah, that time it was there. The quarterback just needs to step into that pass a little bit. That time he threw it off his back foot and just kind of tossed it out there. Incomplete pass. We'll stop the clock, and Central Methodist is taking a lot of time bringing in this third down call. Benedictine is going to bring in a dime package, bringing in a couple extra defensive backs.
But they hit the time. We're still at 13 on the play clock. Slot to the left side. We'll go CMU. They bring Cade Ebarb in, and now the Eagles are going to take a timeout. They want to get this right, and we're going to take a break at 14:22 to go in the half. It remains Eagles 7, Ravens scoreless.
Hunley Liquor is the place to go for your favorite beverages. Stop by and check out their beer selection. They are carrying lots of new beers, and they always have cold ones ready to go. Also in stock is an array of seltzers, wines, and spirits, something for everyone. Stop by and check it out. You may find a new favorite. Hunley Liquor, 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Hunley Liquor.
Skyway Vapes has a new home. See them at 711 Commercial Street for your vaping products. They carry everything you need to get started on your journey to a healthier alternative to smoking, carrying products ranging from mini pod systems all the way up to intermediate mods. Check them out at their new location, 711 Commercial in Atchison. Still with those great hours. Open 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 7 on Sunday. It's Skyway Vapes in Atchison.
All All right, Central Methodist utilizing the timeout. Let's see what they do. Quarterback is back. The blitz is on. The pass is away, and it's incomplete. And the Ravens had two men right in the hip pocket of quarterback Demon Rondes. Both Adam Wilbur's Gus and Jalen James were back there with him.
Yeah, so what happened was the Ravens were really ready for Kadarius Taylor. They were going to take him completely out of the play. And so what they did is put Adam Wilbur's out there. He chucked him right on the snap, and then he came on a blitz. Jalen came from the other side, and that bought Jackson Hoskins a little time over the top.
Samuel Petron is in for the field goal. It is on its way, and it is a rocket right through there. We're going to take a timeout. 14-18 to go in the opening half in Fayette. Eagles 10, Benedictine nothing.
Subway makes it their priority to serve you the delicious meals you love in the easiest and safest ways possible. Order in-store, online, or through the Subway app for carry-out service. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Check out their fresh melts, signature wraps, protein bowls, and amazing salads at Subway under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Benjamin Franklin once wrote about investing. An investment in knowledge pays the best interest. At Caudill Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to navigate the world of investments. Let us answer your most pressing questions about the markets, whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with. Give us a call to learn more at 367-2700, 367-2700. Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
The Eagle kick is away, and Ravens are going to take it to the goal line. Up the right side, here comes Buteau to the 10, 15, crosses a 20, and up around the 25-yard line. Nice return for Benedictine. And the offense is going to come out of the field as the tackle on the kick coverage by Davion Stockard for Central Methodist. Gus, for the Ravens, got to snap out of this offensive funk. Two possessions for Benedictine, two turnovers by Benedictine, no points yet for Benedictine.
Yeah, and they moved the ball well in the second possession. Their very first possession, they fumbled it on the very first play. But in the second possession, they were able to put some yards together, just couldn't get into the end zone after fumbling it at the one.
First and 10, quarterback Garrett Kettle. Rayshon Mills is running back with him. Pass is going to be flared over into the right flat and to Trey Adger. Trey's been kind of a bright spot so far in the early part of this game. He'll pick up very short yardage on that completion, but he terrifies me because only Jamie Mueller can hold the ball with one hand like a loaf of bread out there the way Trey did on that play. And Jamie could get away with it.
So for Trey Adger, you talk about how the Ravens are targeting him right now. Three catches now for 27 yards today.
That was a two-yard gain. Second down, 8, Benedictine. Ravens at their own 29. Rayshon gets the handoff, hits in the middle of the line, and maybe gets a yard, maybe to the 30-yard line. Certainly no more than that. And as quickly as this, because the Ravens are facing a third down, 7.
Yeah, because of the short play on first down, you were playing behind the sticks. You don't pick up a whole lot on second down. Now you're looking at a third and long. Right now, with that last carry, you're looking at Rayshon Mills. 6 carries for about 17 yards today with a long of 4.
So, yeah, you're averaging a little over 2 yards per carry for Rayshon. Ravens have not been able to find any daylight. Javon Todd goes to the left slot. And Garrett Kettle, with no one in the backfield, is very back to throw. Fires one right side. It's going to be taught by Adger at the 30. Gets a 40. Gets a first down. And Trey Adger continues to be the highlight of this offense right now.
You know what I like right there about Trey Adger? When he caught that ball, he didn't even dance, didn't think about trying to get to the sideline and breaking a big play. He just put his foot down and pushed forward, knowing he needed to pick up the first down. And that time, they were picking on Darian Bell. Darian Bell, a 5'6" senior out of League City, Texas, is, if he's 5'6", he was standing on a biology.
First and 10, Ravens at the 41. Kettle's pass into the right flat. It's very high. An athletic catch by Peyton Hazuga. Because as he reaches out, you fully expose those ribs. He gets hit hard and earned every bit of that 4-yard gain.
And he's going to take his time getting off the field over there. Eric Mays, the big cornerback on the left side, 6 foot, 180 pounds from just up the road in Marshall, Missouri, made the stop on the play.
That is the play that the receiver goes to the quarterback and says, if you ever do that again,
right.
Okay? Second down, 5. Kettle, again, alone in the backfield. Will keep it on a quarterback boot left. Gets to the 50, gets hit late, and there's no penalty. That is a crime, as Garrett Kettle went feet first, was on the ground, was hit late, and no marker falling on any official. That is an error by the crew.
Right, because anytime the quarterback goes into a feet-first slide, you're not even allowed to touch him on that play. But Garrett gets up a little slow, comes back to the huddle, and I don't think Joel is going to be very happy with that call.
No, once you've given yourself up, the play is over, and
look,
you are done.
Charlie's over here telling the officials, hey, if they're going to get away with that, do we get it?
Ravens with a first down, 10, just across the 50. Kettle goes right side. Adger catches it and is immediately going to be held up and stopped, and he's thrown down late. There are the penalty markers. The play was over, blown dead. Two defenders come over and then plant Trey Adger, who fortunately jumps right up and seems to be uninjured.
So you look over here, and that's going to be, what, probably a dead ball on sportsmanlike conduct against Central Methodist. Oh, we've got to turn on the mic. There we go.
A dead ball, personal foul, number 5 of the defense, 15 yards, end of the run, automatic first down.
So that's going to be against the left side cornerback, Eric Mays. And if you remember back to last year when we were over here in Central Methodist, Marquise Daniels, who was a late add, wasn't on the 2-deep coming into today's game. Well, he didn't finish that game last year. Remember, he had 2 unsportsmanlike conducts and got ejected from that game. So Central Methodist, a team who maybe runs a little hot.
1st and 10 Ravens, and the Ravens offensive line shoots across. Make that 1st and 15, shall we?
Yeah, because the Ravens were trying to go to that Wildcat formation with Jayshon Todd as your quarterback in the play. And I think everybody was expecting the ball to move, and Zion Mathis just didn't move it. So now we're going to see Kettle come back in and quarterback the team on this one.
You know, Jayshon's going to go, darn, man, I was scanning that defense. I had something all picked out, and he was going to do some big things there, but it's going to be 1st and 15, Benedictine at the 34-yard line now. CMU. Quarterback will take it now, hand off on the little jet sweep. Here's Jayshon inside the 30, takes it all the way down to the 27-yard line. So he'll pick up a penalty yardage and 2 more. And that's what you needed to do. You got half of it back.
Yeah. So a nice play right there for the Ravens. And again, Jayshon Todd with the run right there. It's going to be his second rush of the ball game. If you're looking at these stats later on, you just got to realize that some of the names aren't as they are, right?
Right. I agree. Because Gathright is now in the game as both Gathright and Mills come back in for BC. Quarterback is back to throw. Rolling left. Now he's going to step in at the 25, down to the 20. Bumps out of bounds on the near side at the 17-yard line. Another Benedictine first down. And Gus, this is similar to what he did last week. Garrett Kettle, when he sees nobody open downfield, takes off running.
The guy who's not going to get a lot of credit right now, but will tomorrow in film, that's your running back, Rayshon Mills. He came out of the backfield, and as the quarterback, Garrett Kettle, tucks the ball, Rayshon turns around, finds the linebacker, kicks him out towards the sideline, allows a nice little cutback lane for Garrett Kettle to pick up that first down.
Ravens at the 18, CMU. They've been in this distance before. Handoff goes to Rayshon. He cuts in, loses his footing, drops for no gain.
That time coming up to make the stop for Central Methodist. It's going to be Brandon Molinari. The strong safety, 21 tackles coming into today's ballgame, but does have a couple interceptions this season.
10-0 Central Methodist here in Fayette, Missouri, with 9:20 to go in the opening half. Ravens on the road today. They're going to go Pete Cadena wide to the right side. They'll go slot right with Reed Levi wide left, Jacob Gathright. Mills behind the quarterback. Handoff is going to go to Rayshon. He's hit at the line of scrimmage and has enough inertia to perhaps gain a yard. It is now a 3rd down, 9. Tony Hernandez, big old linebacker. He is strong out there, a couple hundred pounds out of California for Central Methodist. It is a 3rd down and just in short 10.
Ravens going to bring Adger and Buteau back into the ballgame.
Now for Benedictine, Gus, another issue. When you're right here in between the 25 and 30-yard line, they're in 4-down territory because this, I believe, is fully beyond the Ravens' field goal range.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we saw Cullen Bruner good from about 47 was his outer limit.
Quarterback back to throw, pumps once, pulls it down, pumps again. Buteau, touchdown, Ravens! What about that play? As Garrett Kittle pumped, pulled it back, gave Boutel another moment to slide between two defenders, cut it at the goal line, and Austin Boutel, who had no receptions last week, puts the Ravens on the scoreboard here today.
Yeah, nice job by Austin Boutel, just running a route and kind of keeping on the inside hip of the cornerback, able to get the Ravens on the board now. Here comes the PAT. And Cullen Bruner, the redshirt freshman from 52 miles away from here, up at Marceline. The kick, it's up, it's good. We've got a timeout on the field. Ravens on the board at 8:31 to go in the opening half. Eagles 10, Benedictine 7.
This flu season, drive-through flu shot events will be held at most Amberwell primary care locations, including Atchison, Hiawatha, Horton, Troy, and Leavenworth. Flu vaccines are free with most insurance plans. In order to help the events run as smoothly as possible, registration is encouraged. Dates and times are limited, so visit amberwellhealth.org or call 913-370-9839 to register now.
New at Taco John's in Atchison, Queso Blanco Creations. The Queso Blanco menu includes the double cheese chicken boss burrito and Queso Blanco loaded nachos. It's bigger, bolder, better. And check out their new fried chicken tacos with chipotle lime or spicy jalapeno ranch. It's all at Taco John's, just south of the tracks on 10th Street in Atchison. Taco John's, ole the day.
Welcome back to Fayette, Missouri, where the Benedictine Ravens, with 8.5 to go in the first half, have gotten on the board. Find themselves now within three, trailing at 10-7. This kickoff is high, caught by the wind, and it's going to be short, and a running, diving effort at the return, and a cover up by Cole Schroeder, and Gus nearly hurts himself as he dives forward. Harry O'Neill is there for the coverage, but making that headlong dive, and the effort was to not let that ball bound and go down and deeper into Eagle territory, but that was a high, high risk play.
Yeah, because have you ever seen anything good happen when a kickoff hits the ground?
No.
Right? I mean, that ball could go anywhere, and the Ravens were screaming down the field quickly. Here comes Paxton De La Ron, and for Central Methodist, this will be their fourth possession of the first half.
First and 10, CMU. Eagles at the 27-yard line, their own. Taylor Ron has been as good as advertised, Gus, maybe even better. As he steps up in a pocket again, feels no pressure, has plenty of time, fires a pass and a 15-yard gain on a first down call.
That time, Navion Drayton over there to wrestle the receiver to the ground. But again, it's Catavius Taylor they're looking for.
Okay, you're the X's and O's guys of this. What's Benedictine got to do to get any kind of, I don't mean like heat, I mean just a little pressure on Taylor Ron because he has had zero, none.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to have to talk to your front line and say you've got to start winning the battle at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, that starts with a guy like Isaac Anderson up front.
Pass is going to go into the left flat, taking it to 45, 50, Raymond 45, and down to the 43. And on two plays, back-to-back first downs for CMU, they are moving it briskly.
Right, we talk about a guy like Isaac Anderson. He's a guy who has won a lot this season and been able to get pressure. On that last play, Isaac found himself 2 yards back, getting driven off the ball on a pass play, right? I mean, that just doesn't happen. So, again, you've got to start getting pressure with your front defensive linemen. I mean, it's no different than tomorrow when we're going to watch the Chiefs. You've got to get pressure with your down linemen.
At the Benedictine 43, Central Methodist has their drive. Quarterback's back, pumps once. Nobody there. Now over the middle, he's going to go a wide open receiver. Is going to be caught at the 20-yard line and a diving effort for a first and 10 for Central Methodist. Caught by Christopher Williams, and they are moving the football.
That time, Christopher Williams just ran a post down the middle of the field, and nobody picked him up as he cut into the middle. And honestly, a little better throw. He probably takes that into the end zone, but had to slide down to make the catch. And it'll be first and 10 for Central Methodist. It hasn't taken him much to get all the way down the field.
Gus, we got fans all over the place. They're listening to us in Wichita, Kansas. Got Jack and Brogan at Dak Center down there huddled around the radio. Guys, hope you're having a good time. Ravens are looking for a big defensive play right here. First and 10. Down to the 20-yard line. Quarterback's back. Crossing pattern. Going to be caught inside the 10. It's first and goal, Eagles.
and they just keep going back to the well, and thus that well continues to produce.
Yeah, and right now, look at how fast Central Methodist has walked this ball down the field. Well, we're talking a minute and 40 seconds, and already they find themselves at the, what, 8-yard line? Nine-yard line.
They've only had one play that was not first down yardage. They have not had a third down on this trip downfield. It is first and goal, CMU at the Benedictine 8. Raven defense is going to have to, again, get some kind of pressure, some kind of disruption on quarterback Paxton DeLaron. Takes a snap, straight back, lots of time. There's that crossing pattern, touchdown Eagles. And again, Central Methodist exploits the Benedictine defense. Touchdown Trayvon Hartz, the 6'6 senior wide receiver.
Yeah, Washington product able to get on the board for Central Methodist. And again, had one catch last week for a 30-yard touchdown. I say last week, 2 weeks ago. But Central Methodist, again, pushes that lead back up to 9 and with PAT coming.
Samuel Petrin is your kicker. The snap rolls back. The placement got down, and he's still able to punch it through. Time out of the field. We've got 6:17 to play in the half. CMU 17, Benedictine 7.
Snap Fitness, your affordable neighborhood club, is open. And now is the time to schedule your tan. With 3 tanning beds and packages to fit your budget, it's the place to go. And new at Snap Fitness, Good Sense Meals. Need something fast and delicious for lunch or dinner? Stop in and check out all the options. No membership required to take advantage of tanning and meals. Call Snap Fitness at 913-367-1511 for more information on tanning, 24-hour gym memberships, or their new Good Sense Meals.
Your car is a complex machine filled with the latest technology. It needs quality service to keep it running right. By taking your car or truck to Lewis Chevrolet Buick in Atchison, you will have a peace of mind knowing your vehicle will be maintained and repaired by highly trained professionals. The Lewis Chevrolet Buick Service Department stands behind their work with a guarantee you will feel good about. So bring your vehicle into the people who understand it best. Lewis Chevrolet Buick, great cars and great service. Call them at 913-367-3000 or stop by 314 Woodlawn in Atchison.
But with a little bit of wind, it is back. Samuel Petrin for Central Methodist kicks his thing out the back of the end zone. And for Benedictine, Gus, their fourth possession of the afternoon will begin first and 10 at their own 25-yard line. We're at 6:17 to play here in the first half. Ravens find themselves trailing once again by 10 at 17-7. Motion will go to the right side for BC. It's going to be Reed. Levi will settle in there. Quarterback will make the pitch. Trying to get to the outside is going to be Mills, and can't make the edge. Tries to turn it up. Gets the line of scrimmage. Possibly fell forward for one. And you need to check for me, if you would, his defensive end, LaMarcus Washington, a big, big man out of Mississippi, coming from Highland Community College over to Central Methodist, makes that tackle. But I'm not sure the Ravens' rushing game has been productive in any way today.
Not other than Chayshon and Jacob Gathright.
Down 9. Now from the Wildcat, here comes Chayshon to the 35-40. Chayshon's going to score! 50-40! No one can catch Chayshon! 20-10! Chayshon, touchdown, Ravens! You cannot catch the incredible speed presented by Chayshon Todd as he rambles that thing down the field on a 73-yard Wildcat sweep to the left.
We talked about it in the first quarter that Chayshon Todd is one of the fastest guys in the Heart of America Athletic Conference. And there, Central Methodist just took bad angles to try to get him. I mean, if you think you've got a good angle, go up a couple yards, and that's the only way you're going to catch Chayshon Todd. And we talked about it, that's really the only running game Benedictine has had today.
Here's Colin Bruner, his PAT. It's down, it's up, it's in. Taking another break. Points coming for the Ravens here at 5:33 to go in the opening half now. Central Methodist 17, Benedictine 14.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Retirement planning is not just about retirement, but about planning. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary review of your current retirement situation. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management.
Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC, Hamada Wealth Management Group, and IFG.
FDIC or unaffiliated entities.
From early dinners with the family to post-game celebrations with the team, Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill Burgers are the choice to fill your tank. Try the grill burgers and cheeseburgers as a combo with fries and a drink, or alone to savor the flavor. DQ Grill Burgers make happy taste good. Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill, 10th and Skyway in Atchison.
All right, Benedictine offensive possession took 44 seconds in the long TD run by Jay Sean Todd. And the Ravens are going to kick it away. It's taken downfield at the 20, brought back to the 25-yard line, and dropped right there. Gus, you look at the flags on the north end of the field. You look at the flags on the top of the goalpost here. They don't seem to be moving that much, but every team that kicks into that breeze to the north, that ball is grabbed and just thrown to the ground around the 20 to 30 yard line. It is much stronger than it seems.
We kind of noticed that before the game when we parked over at Puckett and walked over here. But when we were standing in the parking lot over at Puckett, we're like, it's a little breezy. You get down here into the stadium and you're like, well, the breeze is gone because this thing sits down a little bit. And that time when you get the ball up over those trees, you realize it.
Raven defense now being called on. Quarterback DeLand is back to throw, fires a pass over the middle, batted away by Tyler Tierney. What a great job of reaching around the intended receiver, slapping that ball to the ground, and keeping Cooper Wilson from making the catch.
You think that 73-yard touchdown just might have sparked this Raven defense a little bit, because they actually looked like they were excited about that play. They were getting after the quarterback, and that was maybe the best defensive play and most spark we've seen out of this defense today.
One play can ignite not only the offense or the defense, but an entire team. And let's see if the Ravens continue to reflect that. QB's back to throw. Fires one deep, and it's way out of the reach of the intended receiver. Racing down the left side is going to be Cole Schroeder, but it's out of his reach and incomplete quickly. It is going to bring up a third and a 10. And Gus, with Josh Morris in coverage, here is, and you hear me harp on this every week, here is the issue with throwing the football. You're now third down and 10, and you have not taken 15 seconds off the clock.
Pretty good Raven contingent over here. It's starting to get a little loud. On this third down call, Central Methodist can spread the field out a little bit, three to the left, or three to the right, one to the left.
Here is a quarterback, straight back, deep drop, chased, he's hit, and he is falling down, throws a pass, and is it caught or is it dropped? It is incomplete at the 40-yard line, and quarterback Paxton DeLamont was in the clutches of Jalen James.
Yeah, we talked about Jalen James and how well he's able to get after the quarterback, but Paxton DeLamont is big, 6'6", 210 pounds. He reminds me a lot, body style, of kind of that Ben Roethlisberger, like, it takes more than one guy to bring him to the ground. That time he was able to hold himself up, get rid of kind of a highly dangerous pass over the middle. And when it was all said and done, it's probably the best case scenario that it fell incomplete.
First three and out of the game for CMU as the Raven defense has rallied. The punt coming from the 10-yard line is away. The wind pushes it. It is high. It is deep. Boutil will take it over the shoulder at his own 31. Looking for a block. He's got four defenders in front of him and nowhere to go. He's wrapped up at the 29. Because nothing but great jerseys down there with the Raven kick return man, Austin Boutil, is Central Methodist in their gray jerseys, white pants, green helmet, white lettering and trim. Rather an unusual combination. For Benedictine, they're back to the all-white uniform, white jersey, white pants, black helmets, red and black lettering and trim, and I'm still getting used to that white uniform. I look out there, and I'm not sure what team we're looking at today. Quarterback's going to take the snap. Ravens first down, 10. Garrett Kittle steps up in the pocket, thinking about running a set. He's going to flare it over to Jayshon. He's coming out of the backfield, hit the line of scrimmage, and he's going to be dropped right there for little to no gain on the play. It is a second down BC. They're going to give him a nice spot, make it a second down 7.
Right now, Benedictine, this will be their fifth possession of the afternoon. They had fumbles on their first two possessions, and then on the last two possessions have capped them off with touchdowns. 17-yard pass from Kettle to Boutil and a 73-yard run by Jay Sean Todd. And here the Ravens are looking at now a second and 6.
Benedictine with more yardage in the ballgame than Central Methodist, yet they trailed 17-14 last week. The Ravens had nearly 600 yards of offense, 594. Motion will go to the left side. It's going to be Reed Levi, second down, 7BC. Play action, quarterback back to throw, looking, pulls it back down. Now he's thinking about running. Needs a block that he won't get. He will turn it up and come up a couple of yards short of the first down. He was leading a block from Gathright, but Jenkins could not get in front of the defender. And Garrett able to pick up about 5 or 6. It is 3rd and 2.
You know, but a good idea by Jacob Gathright. You can't get in front of him, then don't reach out and get a hold, right? Don't cost your team 10 yards. Allow your quarterback Kettle to pick up as much as you can. Now you're looking at a 3rd and short. Now the Ravens haven't run the ball overly effective in the first half unless it was with Jayshon Todd. So it'd be interesting to see what they do on this 3rd and short.
3rd down 2, Benedictine from his own 38-yard line. Kettle takes a snap, slides, now makes the pitch, trying to get to the edge. Mills doesn't. Rayshon, did he get it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he stretched it out and got it. Rayshon, I thought, was slowing down a little bit, like he was going to try to stay in bounds and maybe make a cut instead of accelerating and just picking up what he could, but does get it up. It's a Benedictine 1st and 10. The chains will move. We're at 3:08 to go and approaching halftime here in Fayette, Missouri. 1st and 10, Ravens at the 42. Benedictine still has their full complement of 3 timeouts remaining. We'll see if they can get a go-ahead or at least a tying score with this possession. Reed Levi will shift over to the tight end on the right side. Garrett will take the snap, run straight ahead. He'll get a yard or so, because I always hate seeing my quarterback get beat up running straight into the line for a yard.
Especially running right into the middle and on a 1st down, okay? I'm okay if it's 4th and a yard or 3rd and a yard, but on that 1st and 10, that's a tough one. Now the Ravens have an offensive lineman, Will Crenser, that's coming off very slow over there, and so racing into the ball game. They're going to bring in Raymond Escobedo, the 6-foot redshirt freshman out of Mesquite, Texas.
2:14 to go and rolling along. Hope you're enjoying Benedictine football here on KAIR-FM. Horton Atchison. Here's a pass to the near side. Trey Adger. Does he make it? It's a circus catch. Trey comes to his feet, stretches the yard. It's a Raven 1st down inside the Eagle 40.
Well, that time Eric Mays is looking for a pass interference and not really sure why, because the ball was thrown where Eric probably should have intercepted it, but that time it was Trey Adger just going right in front of him and able to steal that ball away. 1st and 10 for the Ravens at the 39.
Mays is complaining that Trey had held him by the jersey. You're never going to get that call. Garrett is back. Short pass over the middle. Going to be taken by Adger. 40, 35, 30. Trey spins around to the 25, down to the 23-yard line. Trey Adger. Ravens advance the sticks. It's another 1st and 10 for the senior out of Olathe South High School.
Trey Adger putting together a monstrous first half. That is going to already be his 7th catch. He's up over 70 yards here in the first half.
Benedictine now in a high motor offense with 1.5 minutes to go before intermission. Wrap around, handoff. No, quarterback's back. Throws one. Right side. Caught inside the 15. Down to the 12. And here's a late penalty as the quarterback got rough.
Is it? Or is it against the sideline of Central Methodist? Because the officials over here, I'm not sure what it was, but he was not happy with that penalty. Oh, there we go. He threw it so late that you figured it had to be something after the play, but a penalty against the Ravens, and they'll back it up. Now, for Central Methodist, let's think back to how this game started. They won the toss, elected to take the football, so Benedictine will get the ball to start the second half. So, again, with 1:24, how big would it be to score and do a 2-for-1.
I'm looking at what's the interview happening with the official and someone on the sideline over here. Ravens 1st down 15. Kettle back with time. Fires one near side. Caught Jason Todd of the 20-yard line. He will pick up the lost yardage on the penalty and a couple of more. It is a 2nd down 8. Benedictine at the 21, and the Ravens are going to take their 1st timeout. Joseph, so shall we. A break in the action with 75 seconds left in the half. CMU 17, Benedictine 14.
At Union State Bank, we've never stopped learning. In over 120 years, we've never stopped expanding our technology. To keep Union State Bank of Atchison and your finances moving forward, we provide innovative banking services while protecting your information. From our Union State Bank app to mobile and online banking tools, we're always looking ahead to serve you better without losing that small town banking feel you love. Learn more today at mybankusb.com.
Are you confused about the stock market? Feel like you are taking too much risk? Do you just feel lost at times on what to do? If you are looking for investment guidance in these uncertain times, Hamada Wealth Management is here to assist you. They believe it is important to not just make money, but preserve it. To schedule your no-cost income and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management.
Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC. Hamada Wealth Management Group and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
Bringer off is back on the field with a minute 15 to go in the opening half, trailing by three. They have the football, second down, seven at the 21-yard line of CMU. Reed Levi, the tight end, will slip over to the left side. Now Javon goes in motion to the right. Quarterback Garrett Kittle is back to throw. Now he's in trouble, going to run with the ball, gets down to the 20, and head tackled at the 19-yard line. He could not find a receiver because I don't know how he could have gone through the full progression as quickly as he decided to run and then picked up very minimal yardage.
Yeah, and Jayshon was sitting over here in the right flat, and I think he would have been happy if Kettle would have tossed the ball out to him, right? Get the ball to a playmaker in space.
Field is shortened up now inside the 20-yard line, and so the defense has less territory to cover. Again, it's going to be Todd motion to the left side. 40 seconds left in the clock and rolling toward halftime. Kettle is back, gets it away. Over the middle, it's going to be taken by Todd. Eludes the defender, gets to the 15, hit from behind, down to the 10, maybe our 11-yard line. Another first down. Benedictine able to advance the sticks. The clock stops briefly at 32 seconds as they move the chains, and the Ravens are going to take the second timeout. We'll hold on here. Joseph, if you'd be so kind.
You know what I like about that play right there? You're starting to see Jayshon Todd grow in this offense, right? Like, I mean, we've seen him be a gadget player, and we've seen him be a nine guy, which, I mean, just turn him loose, get him down the field, and you know, try to hit him with a home run ball. But right there, we saw him on an underneath route, know where he needed to get to pick up the first down. He caught the ball and then fought forward to pick up the first down, understanding down and distance. I mean, so, again, we're starting to see the freshman grow in this offense.
32 seconds left in the first half. And again, a spectacular afternoon. It was 61 degrees at kickoff time. That barometric pressure, how about that? 30.24. No wonder it's so beautiful and clear here. The wind is out of the north at 12. Humidity, only 41%. We started off this morning with some pretty chilly temperatures in the Atchison listening area. Joseph, I don't know, he's probably wiping a little frost off the pumpkins on his front deck this morning. Certainly want to remind you also, Gus, and it's very important for me to share the fact that Hamada Wealth Management can help you with investments and stock market plans, retirement, and more. Call them. Hamada Wealth Management, 928-443-7536. Here's Benedictine. Quarterback is back to throw. Fires one left side. Buteau takes it at the 15. Wrapped up at the 11-yard line. He gained nothing. Kion Collins, the cornerback, over to the right side, out of just down the road here in Columbia, Missouri, with the tackle. And Benedictine will use his final timeout here.
You want to keep it here?
Yeah, well, hang on to it.
Yeah,
by
might
all means.
As well, you want to read through that real quick. And while we do this, we're going to take a quick look around the Heart of America Athletic Conference and other games going on right now. You've got Grandview still leading William Penn in that ball game. Clark and Peru State from Peru, Nebraska this afternoon as it reloads on me. Peru leading Clark 17-0 in the third quarter. Evangel, the Valor, taking on Missouri Valley. We're going to see Missouri Valley next week in Atchison for homecoming.
Well, we mentioned a moment ago, we got our friends in Wichita, Jackson, and all of his cousins listening to us down there in the ICT. We've got friends in Southeast Asia tuning in. Steven, we hope you're having a great day and enjoying the Ravens. We'll see if they will come back here. We're down to 22 seconds before halftime, and Benedictine, utilizing their final timeout, has the ball at the 11-yard line, second and 10, deep in CMU territory. Gus, are they close enough for a tying field goal kicking into the wind? One and two. That means, of course, you got to throw the ball because there's no time if you just try to run it.
Yep.
Quarterback is back. Penalty markers prior to the snap. They're still flying. And we'll see what this call is going to be over here on the near side. Well, of all the things the Ravens needed, that was not on the list, as it would make any potential field goal yet longer. So with the line of scrimmage at the 16, you'd be talking about a, 33-yard-ish field goal, if that's what they would elect to have to do into the wind.
Right, and we talked about it in pregame. He was, 37 is the outer edge of where he was at. So, right now the Ravens are all the further they want to be. Now, I think Central Methodist is looking for maybe a 10-second runoff, but off of a timeout, it shouldn't be.
24 seconds left on the official scoreboard clock. 17-14 CMU. And again, yes, the 10 seconds does not apply here coming out of a timeout. Now, had they not, the penalty, you better take a timeout or you lose the time. Here's your second down call for Benedict at the 16. Running back to the right side. QB's back, looking, rolling, looking, throwing in desperation, and it's picked off. Did he stay in bounds? No, it's incomplete. And that time, Gus Garrett Kettle made a bad decision. He was rolling out, and he was being chased, and he decided to throw over toward Trey Adger, which is a good idea as you can have, throwing to Trey, but he was under great duress, and that ball was just kind of lobbed up there. Lucky for the Ravens, they still have possession.
Yeah, and the problem right now for the Ravens is you're going to be looking at a 3rd and 15, no timeouts left, and if you don't pick up the first down or don't get out of bounds, you're going to have to race the special teams in there to try to kick a field goal.
Here's the thing. You've got to throw into the end zone here is your only option. Garrett is back, pumps once, drops back, being chased, rolling left, looking, stops at the 20, throws one, into the end zone, wide open, touchdown, Reed Levi! Touchdown, Ravens, with 9 seconds to play in the half, and Benedictine has its first lead today.
Reed Levi, last week against Culver Stockton, 5 catches, 129 yards, 2 touchdowns. Today, that's his first catch of the afternoon, a touchdown, and we talk about it. Here's your 2-for-1. Benedictine going to get the ball back to start the second half.
Huge CMU crowd is stunned as their team had taken a huge early lead. But Benedictine, with this PAT, has cut that lead and has taken their own. We're going to hang on to it right here, Joseph, with only 9 seconds left in the half. Benedictine 21, CMU 17. And this Raven team, Gus, you can see the critical difference has been holding on to the football. Those first 2 touchdowns for Central Methodist were both direct results of Benedictine turnovers.
Yeah, you talk about the first 2 possessions for Benedictine. One play, they fumbled the ball. Then on the second possession, they moved the ball all the way down the field, but then fumbled at the 1-yard line. But since then, Benedictine's next 3 possessions have ended in touchdowns. Central Methodist, at one point, early on in the second quarter, led 10-0. But Benedictine has reeled off 20 points or 21 points so far in this second quarter.
Teams are huddled up here, and at halftime, we're going to be catching up on all things Benedictine, the fall sports schedule, looking ahead into the winter sports schedule, talking a little bit about next week and us being back in Wilcox Stadium for homecoming. It is Hall of Fame weekend, and we're going to talk about all of those things with athletic assistant athletic director and sports information director Josh Pound. So we're going to catch up on all things Ravens here at intermission. So stay with us for that. Here comes the Benedictine kick from Cullen Bruner, Donnelly Clark, Cole Schroeder are back for the return, and they are not going very deep and probably don't have to. Settling in at their own 15-yard line. Here's a boot. It's a worm burner. It's a 30. Picked up at the 20. Dropped. Picked back up. Here comes a CMU return man, dances into the middle, little water bug, move to the outside, hitting out from behind it. Going to be drunk down to the 26-yard line. 2 seconds left in the first half. Who would expect Jacob Gathright to be on kick coverage? But he was, and he made a great tackle right out there.
Yeah, Jacob Gathright did a nice job getting down there on the kick coverage unit, and what he did was he stalked it from behind. He was trying to rip that ball out, and for Central Methodist, you got to think with 2 seconds left, you come out here, you fall on it, and you get to the break.
Yeah, they're going to have wide receiver Cooper Williams 10 yards deep in the offensive backfield as they go to that victory or diamond formation around Paxton DeLaron, and we have come to halftime in Fayette. We'll be back to summarize the opening half for you at intermission. It's the Benedictine Ravens 21, Central Methodist 17.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Retirement planning is not just about retirement, but about planning. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary review of your current retirement situation. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management.
Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC, Hamada Wealth Management Group, and IFG. Your unaffiliated entities.
This flu season, drive-through flu shot events will be held at most Amberwell primary care locations, including Atchison, Hiawatha, Horton, Troy, and Leavenworth. Flu vaccines are free with most insurance plans. In order to help the events run as smoothly as possible, registration is encouraged. Dates and times are limited, so visit amberwellhealth.org or call 913-370-9839 to register now.
Hey, it's great to have you with us here in Fayette, Missouri. We're at Davis Field on the Central Methodist campus where the Benedictine Ravens, Gus, got behind early in the ballgame, kind of their own fault, but they overcame that and have taken a lead into the locker room at halftime, 21-17.
Yeah, a couple turnovers in the first two possessions for Benedictine put them a little behind the eight ball. For Central Methodist, they were able to take those two turnovers and turn them into a touchdown and a field goal quickly, getting ahead 10-0. But in the second quarter, Kettle found Austin Buteau on a 17-yard pass. Then Central Methodist answers back, goes up by 10 on an 8-yard pass from DeLaron to Trayvon Hards. But after that, a 73-yard touchdown run by Jay Sean Todd, and then a 16-yard pass from Garrett Kettle to Reed Levi gives Benedictine a 21-17 lead here at the break. And if you remember back to the start of the game, Central Methodist won the toss. They wanted to put their offense on the field first, so Benedictine will get the ball to start the second half right now, leading 21-17. Taking a quick look at some of the stats in the first half, Benedictine, 16 first downs. They are, here we go, third down efficiency. We always talk about if you're going to be good, you've got to be good on third down, and Benedictine has been really good on third down. They are 6 of 6 on third down today. Central Methodist is not bad with their numbers. They're 4 of 7, so they're 57%. Benedictine, 291 yards of offense in the first half, 195 right now for Central Methodist. We're getting set to be entertained by one of the really nice marching bands in the conference here at Central Methodist, and they always do a fantastic job. It's halftime here in Fayette. We're going to be back to bring you the second half live, but right now, with your intermission score, the Benedictine Ravens 21, Central Methodist 17. We're kicking it back to Joseph. He's our man in the K-Radio Sports Studio. Got a great halftime lined up for you.
Your Raven halftime is brought to you by Taco John's. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better. The Raven fan feature is up next here on KAIR 93.7.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
Josh Pound is joining us. He's the Sports Information Director, Assistant Athletic Director, Activities Director at Benedictine College. Josh, appreciate your time, man. How's it going?
It's going. I mean, the students are gone, but it's fall break, but that doesn't mean anything for me. That just means that the chaos is just around the corner.
Well, you just look at the webpage, and everything is going full tilt. You got men's and women's soccer. You got the volleyball. You got the football. You've got so many things happening up for Benedictine athletically right now.
Yeah, and you know that's normal, and that's the right kind of normal. We've had some crazy days this year, but I look back, and you know anything that's been crazy this fall was nothing in comparison to where we were. You know, second semester in the spring where we had baseball, softball, lacrosse, both soccers, football, everybody was active because of how crazy the scheduling went with the delay of the postseason. for the fall sports last year. So actually, it's been kind of a nice change of pace this fall to just kind of get back to a normal crazy instead of the just absolute insanity that was last spring. So, yeah, everything's going on right now. You know, basketball season's just around the corner. They've started practicing, so the balls are bouncing around just outside the door on a daily basis. So it's nice to kind of see everything kind of starting to get back into that normal pace that we saw a couple years ago, and not have to worry about some of the outside noise that you have to deal with when you're talking about COVID-19 and all that fun stuff that we dealt with last year.
Well, we're going to get to football here in a minute, but the other fall sports, sometimes we don't get a chance to talk about them, frankly, enough. Let's start with soccer. How men and women's soccer doing up on the hill?
Well, the women's team, they're number 22 in the country right now. They a 9-3 overall record, 5-2 in the conference standings. Both their losses to the two teams ahead of them in the standings in Central Methodist and Missouri Valley. The conference for women's soccer is strong as normal. You know, those top three teams, including us, ranked in the top 25 this year. So, and our third loss was to a season opener to a nationally ranked John Brown team. So, all three losses to top 25 teams this year for them, and all close games. So they're doing well on the women's side. Men's side, it's kind of been up and down. They're just still kind of honestly trying to find out who they are. The men's side in our conference is with as good as the women's side of the conference is. The men's side is just, it's crazy. I think we've got four, maybe five teams either ranked or receiving votes in the conference. And, you know, it's cliche to say that any given day, you know, another team can knock off somebody else, but you know, we've had, you know, middle of the road teams have knocked off the defending national champs in Missouri Valley, and then of course we've got the last three national champions for the NAIA soccer have all come from our conference. CMU won back to back, and then Missouri Valley won last year. So it's just absolutely crazy. They're 5-6-1 overall, 2-4-1. So from a standing standpoint, they're kind of clear down there. I mean, but the saving grace is that when you take a look at those standings, Clark is sitting in fifth place at 3-3-1 in the conference standings. So you've got a pretty big cluster of teams from fifth place all the way down to 11th place. They're all within a game, half game of each other. So they head down to Evangel this weekend. That should be a game that they can kind of start moving that momentum back into their favor. But they've been, you know, they've been in a lot of matches. They've had two tough overtime losses. They had Mid-America on the ropes here early, clear back, probably about a month ago on campus. Had a goal disallowed, or had a goal, MNU's goal was overruled by the referee. The AR had an offside call, and the referee ruled that there was inadvertent ability or something. You got to get really far down in the rule book to find out what he was looking at. So we took a 1-0 game and made it 1-1, and then they scored early in the golden goal period on us, and that kind of just kind of sucked some momentum away from us for a couple of weeks where we were just kind of trying to rebound from that. And they had a tough one on the road, I think it was to Clark, where they got called for a penalty in overtime inside the box, led to a PK, and of course Clark made the PK and they won that one. So, you know, the men's side is just, it's crazy. I mean, there's not a lot of difference, and it's a very international heavy conference now, and so if you can't keep up with that from a recruiting standpoint, it makes it kind of hard to compete, and we're doing the best we can. Coach Sosa, you know, does a good mix of kind of getting some guys from the region and some guys international to come in and play, and they're just kind of it takes a little bit of time sometimes for those guys to gel together, and they're getting there. We see it. They see it. It's just sometimes the record doesn't necessarily reflect where they're at as a team.
The volleyball ladies are in full sweep, and looks like that they've been having some success here recently.
Yeah, it was we had a nice turnout on Tuesday night. It's always nice when you can beat Baker. It's especially nice when you can break out the broom against Baker, and we swept them in three. We played them earlier in the year down in Baldwin City, came out strong, won two straight, and then they won three straight. But we had some girls that were coming back off of some protocols that had limited time that they were able to play. So they played in the first two and then didn't play in the second two, and so we saw the difference. But first two sets the other on Tuesday night, we were in command from the start, and then the third one kind of went back and forth, and then we were able to pull away late. But it was really nice to see. We had a lot of support from our other teams on campus, and we're trying to do what we can this year to get some of our student athletes to understand that if they want the support for their games, they're going to have to get out and support the other teams as well. And we're starting to see a little bit more buy-in as we meet with them on a semi-regular basis to kind of talk with the leaders on every team to say, hey, it's important that we get out and support ourselves. And once the student body sees that, then they'll kind of follow suit and realize that, you know, they're missing out by not coming and supporting us. So, yeah, it was really nice to see. You know, they're 12 and 10 overall, 7-5 in conference play. They're third in the Hart South. Men's women's soccer doesn't play in divisions. They're, I think, the only holdout remaining that doesn't have divisions set up. So volleyball does. And they will take the top three out of each division, and then you need a PhD in mathematics to figure out how they get the other two. But we're third place in the Hart South right now, behind Park University, who's number 5 in the country, and Central Methodist University, who's, I think, the new yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to look at the women's volleyball poll yet, but they're typically nationally ranked up in the top 10, top 15 as well, and we have them coming in on Saturday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know, it's a tough conference when you've got, you know, your top three or four teams in your conference are either ranked or on the NAIA radar, and Coach Hurt, in her first year, she's doing a really good job of trying to change a little bit of the dynamic, and the girls really understand that, you know, we can compete with anybody. And, you know, that really showed up a couple weeks ago when we hosted Park on family weekend. And, you know, Park is next level. I mean, they are legitimate NAIA national title contenders this year. And when we played with them, we were sitting there in the second set. And if you were to just watch the way that our girls played and the way they carried themselves, you would have thought, okay, well, we're winning. And then you'd look up at the scoreboard, and we were always down by like 2 or 3, but it just felt like, okay, this is different. And then again, Park is just next level. When they've decided they've had enough with you, then they put you away. And that's just what happened in the third set. But, it's nice to see what the direction that they're headed in. And, you know, all in all, you know, we've got some high expectations on campus for where we want our teams to be as far as competing for conference titles and competing for NAIA national championships. But more importantly, you know, with some of these programs, we just want to see the athletes compete well and be, you know, show us what it's like to compete within the mission. And so, you know, we've got a lot of good kids going in the right direction, and it's just, you know, a matter of getting those things to click like there is in any sport. You know, men's soccer is relatively young, and so they've got the steep learning curve. Volleyball is the same way. We didn't lose a whole lot from senior standpoint, but we got a lot of young players that are just kind of starting to figure out what this level of volleyball looks like. So it's exciting to see some of these teams and see where we're going.
Josh Pound, SID and assistant AD at Benedictine, joins us. And, you know, Josh, you talk about the great crowds and stuff. Don't have to worry about bringing extra people into that Benedictine football. The guys have been battling hard, and the crowds have been just phenomenal this fall.
Yeah, you know, and I was a little concerned. You know, we obviously, you know, we come out in our home opener and didn't have the showing that we wanted to have against a very good Grandview team. They're going to run away with the North when conference play starts up this weekend. And then we followed that up with a tough loss, you know, on the road against Peru State. So when we did come back for that next game, I wasn't really sure. And, you know, I went down on the field to check with the referees about timing and all that kind of stuff. And I'm walking back up, you know, 30 minutes before the game starts. And I was concerned, but I guess our fans decided that week, you know, against Clark, they were going to be the L.A. Lakers-style fan and kind of show up fashionably late. But we ended up having a pretty good crowd for that game. And then, obviously, family weekend, the last time out against Culver-Stockton, coming off of 2 60-plus point games. You know, family weekend's always a big weekend, but, you know, we had a lot. We had them spilled over onto the grass berm, you know, on the north side of the stadium. And the crowd, you know, fed off the momentum of the game. And, you know, coming into that one, you know, I think the sense was if you had, you know, obviously we don't have the attention on our level that a lot of the other, you know, some of the schools, the bigger schools in our area have. But I think if you were to go into that game, we were probably the underdog, despite the fact that we hadn't lost to Culver since, you know, like the first 2 years of the modern era of football. But they were looking good. You know, they were a missed field goal away at the start of the season from being undefeated coming in and playing us. And I'd like to say the team that we saw against Culver Stockton was closer to the team that is who we really are than the team that kind of went up to Peru State and wasn't really sure who they were yet. Defense came and played well. The offense is starting to click good. We have some pretty special athletes out there this year, and it's exciting to see when they click what's capable. And so now we get to start the real season as they'll go to Central Methodist this weekend and open up the Hart South play, and we'll see. You know, two losses doesn't really mean much right now, other than we're not in the top 25 or we're barely in the receiving votes category, because if we run the table in this last half of the season, then that means we get to hang another banner and we have a pretty good shot at one of those bids into the NAIA National Tournament.
And then Raven fans, you know, don't have to wait very long to come back and see this team, because another big weekend is coming up. Not only next weekend is homecoming, Hall of Fame weekend, and you're going to put some fantastic individuals in that Raven Hall of Fame.
Yeah, led by, since we're talking about football, Coach Dennis Murphy. Just recently retired, but it's nice to start seeing, some of the guys that helped build the foundation. Coach Gartenmeyer is technically not in the Hall of Fame as a solo individual, but he's in there with a couple of the teams as coaching staff. But to have Denny in there now, obviously with behind Coach Wilcox as well, and then, you know, those three were huge and are huge in the from a historical perspective. So to see Coach go in this year, it's going to be nice. And, you know, it's not been the same around campus, not having Denny here every day, but he's still around. He's, you know, coming to all the games. It's always nice to see it. And you see him walking around, up around campus, trying to get his exercise in. So it's still nice to see him doing that. And then we've got Emily Smith. I forget her married name off the top of my head, but, all-time leading scorer for the Raven women's basketball team. She's going to go in. And then it's escaping me. You'll know it better than I will. The men's basketball player that we have going in here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Jason Wyrick.
Yeah, Jason Wyrick. Yep. One of the probably the best, the way that I understand it, one of the more pure guards that we've had in the history of our, the recent history of our basketball program. But could score, could distribute, played. I think, I don't know if he ever got to play in the Nolan gym. I think Haverty was his home. And then obviously we already had, one of our inductees, clear back in the opener, we brought him in, and one of our former football players, because he's, busy on the weekends coaching the Bears as their special teams coordinator. So yeah, it'll be exciting to have all of them back. Homecoming is always a crazy weekend, for everything. We've got everybody's got something going on. So it'll be exciting to have everybody back and then be able to celebrate some of the success of some of these former players and coaches when they come back as well.
And just to wrap it up, as we start to talk about winter sports, Gus and I are pretty excited. On the 30th of the month, not only are we going to go to Baker with Benedictine football, but we're dashing back home for a season-opening basketball doubleheader Saturday night.
Yeah, we're going to have Halloween hoops with actual games this year. That's going to be a busy day on campus, actually, truthfully, because we'll have volleyball in the afternoon, and then we'll have the basketball games at 5 and 7, and while those are going on inside, we'll have men's and women's soccer playing outside at 5 and 7:30. So, yeah, basketball right around the corner. We're actually going to start putting stuff out next week for season ticket sales and things like that. They will go live on the website on Monday, and then we'll start getting those things out in the mail to our great fan base that we've had over the years. We're going to get hopefully closer back to normal again for them as well, and be able to get a bigger capacity crowds in here this year for home basketball games. But yeah, we're excited to see where they're going at. They're going to have their conference media days will be this next week, and they'll release the polls and everything that goes with that. But, two teams that are coming off some pretty strong seasons last year, national tournament appearances, and, of course, a men's basketball team that is taking full advantage of the COVID eligibility. So they're going to be pretty excited to have them back. We have a couple of girls, one super senior for sure, that came back on the women's side. So both teams with a lot of veteran leadership coming back this year, so we're excited to get them underway as well.
And Josh Pound, your family probably has your photograph just on the wall at the house, because this time of the year, that's about what they get to see of you because you're so darn busy.
Yeah, you know, it's been, it comes in bursts. You know, we've been fortunate this year where, you know, the weeks leading up to the crazy weekends haven't been too crazy, but the weekends are definitely like, I'd say hello to them when I get up in the morning, and I don't see them again until like I get up on Sunday morning, because a lot of the times by the time I get home, they're sound asleep, and I do my best to not wake any of them up. But yeah, it's also nice. They come to as many games as they can, and that's been the nice thing too about the not having the limitations that we had a year ago, where, you know, last fall was difficult because, you know, we wanted to make sure that as many of our parents could get in. So, you know, Amy and the kids kind of stayed away so that they didn't have to worry about taking seats away from families. And so now to be able to have them back and be able to kind of just see them and have them hang out with me when they can, it's been nice. So, yeah, I try not to be too much of a ghost, but it does get difficult at times.
Josh Pound, we appreciate your time, man. I won't tell you to stay busy. I should tell you to just kind of pace yourself as you get through all of this.
Yeah, doing the best I can.
Thanks a million, and we will be talking to you more and seeing you soon. Go Ravens!
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tom.
The second half is moments away. Thanks for listening to this week's Raven Fan Feature on the Taco John's Halftime Show.
Hey, with that, we welcome you back again to Davis Field here on the campus of Central Methodist University in Fayette, Missouri, where we're about ready to get underway with the second half of this afternoon's Benedictine ball game. The Ravens have come from behind to take a 21-17 lead at intermission. Welcome back, everybody. Joseph, back in the studio. He does such good work. I love it. Joseph, we appreciate you always. Thank you so much. Gus Couch with me here up in the booth. Tom Couch said the tide of the game certainly turned as the first half unfolded. Benedictine starting off a little bit shaky, but as it went into the later part of the second half and as the game went on, looked like the Ravens improved and improved and improved.
Yeah, the Ravens have gotten better, right? Over those first two possessions where they had fumbles and turned the ball over, three straight possessions of touchdowns, and they're going to get the ball to start the second half, and it's exactly what they want. Keep that red-hot offense out on the field.
Yep, as we're thanking people, we also want to thank Josh Pound for spending time with us and catching us up on all things Benedictine at halftime. JP, thank you very, very much. Because you love this scenario. You score just before halftime, you get the ball back to begin the second half, and you have an opportunity for quick back-to-back scores.
Yeah, I mean, a few minutes ago, Benedictine found themselves trailing, and now, next thing you know, they've got a shot to put themselves up, 28-17, best case scenario.
Samuel Petrin advances. The boot is away with the wind behind it. It will be taken by the Ravens at the 2-yard line. Here comes Buto. 10-15, Austin 20, bounces outside. It's going to be spun out of bounds just across the 20-yard line. They're going to spot him at about the 22, maybe the 23. And Benedictine will have its first possession of the second half. Ravens first and 10 at their own 23-yard line, just underway in the second half. Visiting with a lot of fans here in the stands. And Gus, we talked about it. The stands are not really large, okay? It is an intimate surrounding here at the Davis Field. And that keeps everybody packed in tight. It makes for a great crowd, though. I mean, everybody's filled in and making a lot of racket and a lot of Raven fans here today. Here's the Ravens throwing a pass out of the backfield. And is it incomplete or is it a lateral? Incomplete forward pass. And the Ravens are super, super fortunate. They turned the ball over in the first play of the first half, almost turned it over on the first play of the second half, but that was ruled an incomplete forward pass, or it was going to have been a scoop and score.
Yeah, that time they were trying to do a little swing pass out of the backfield, incomplete, looking for Austin Buteau, trying to get him going here in the second half. In the first half, Austin, two catches for 17 yards and a touchdown.
Trey Adger is wide to the right side for Benedictine. Ravens are going to fill the slot with Harry O'Neill. Go wide to the left also with Jacob Gathright. Single man in the running back spot, Rayshon. Quarterback will keep it himself. Boots to the right side. Goes feet first near the line of scrimmage. No gain. Third down, 10, Benedictine to the Ravens. looking to get some positive yardage here in the second half.
Yeah, right now the Ravens playing behind the sticks a little bit in this first possession of the second half. They are going to say Kittle was able to get back to the original line of scrimmage, so it'll be a 3rd and 10. Ravens are going to take out Reed Levi. They're also going to take out Harry O'Neill, and here comes Jacob Gathright. Here comes Peyton Hazuga and Jay Sean Todd.
So what you do, you take out big guys and you bring in really, really, really speedy guys. Third down and about a dozen. Kettle goes with the hard count every time, does not draw the defense, then looks to the sideline and reaffirms it, and now we're going to have a penalty marker, and that is a delay of game. As you go with that hard count, you look over to the side, it all just takes so much time. And the Ravens seemed to me, like as the second half went on, they were moving more quickly with the offense. You know, it was moving faster, and they were getting to the line and making snaps and making plays, and they moved better downfield. This taking your time and spending so much time between plays really bogs them down.
For Benedictine, that's going to be their 6th penalty of the game for 29 yards today.
3rd down for Benedictine at about 17. Now back at the 17-yard line. Kettle again, the hard count, can't get anybody to bite, looks around, comes back with a quarterback draw. He'll get a little yardage to the 25, bounces outside 30. He'll get a 1st down. That was a tremendous scramble by Garrett Kettle on a designed quarterback draw.
Yeah, it was a quarterback draw, and that time he hurdled one defender, and then it looked like he was going to be able to be pulled down, but a nice little stiff arm pushes forward, picks up the 1st down, and the Ravens are going to keep this drive alive. Now, they're going to bring into the ball game Pete Cadena, also out there, Austin Buteau.
It is 1st and 10, Ravens. They'll throw it over on the near side to Jay Sean. He needs a lead block that he does not get because he was behind Buteau and then just outran his blocking there. I don't know. So which happens? Does the running back just outrun the block, or does the blocker not get downfield and make the block?
Yeah, the running back outruns the block every time. That time, Eric Mays, the cornerback over there, able to make the stop on the play. Benedictine now looking at a 2nd and 5 call here.
Ravens at their own 40-yard line. We're in the early going of the second half. Benedictine in front, 21-17. Jay Sean in motion. Quarterback will keep it again on the straight-ahead draw. Gets across the line of scrimmage and will be very, very close. So 1st down yardage. He may be a half a football length short, though, as they're not giving him a real generous spot. The line judge on the near side started coming up the 45 and then veered a little bit back toward the 44. So for the Ravens, it is going to be 3rd down and about a half a yard.
Anthony Hernandez makes the stop on the play right there for Central Methodist. Ravens going to bring tight end Reed Levi back in. We're going to talk about that tight end position a little bit after this play.
Anthony Hernandez, did they call him Big Tony on the line? Here's a handoff right side. That's your 1st down for Benedictine. A couple of yards to spare as into the game. And I believe his 1st carry of the day was Damon Wiegand.
Did you see the lead blocker on that play? Walker is out there playing that extra tight end position. And, because the Ravens, without Court Madison to the tough blow for Benedictine this afternoon, that time, Connor Walker in there at that kind of H-back position.
And Connor's on the far sideline saying, Coach, anytime we can have a little contact, put me into the game because I'm down with that. Here's a pass to Wiegand. He'll take it to the 45, 50, and will spin his way forward, picking up ultimately only about 5 yards. And I will tell you, it terrified me for a moment as Wiegand was going down and being spun around. I thought centrifugal force was going to pull a ball out of his hand.
Well, the ball started to kind of escape his body as it was kind of, his arm was coming loose, but able to hold on to the football. Ravens are now looking at a 2nd and 5.
Benedictine across midfield in Eagle territory at the 47-yard line. Wiegand, the running back on this sequence. QB's back. Wiegand stays in the block. A lot of time this time. And now coming back and nearly having an interception. Coming back was Gathright, the defender, Darian Bell, because he read that thing like a dime store novel, saw what was coming, stepped in front of the pass, and should have picked it off.
Yeah, Darian Bell over there really had a good read on it, just couldn't quite get there quick enough to haul it in. And right now, Darian Bell has a tall order, right? He's at 5'6", going up against Trey Adger, who's 6'2", and that's why the Ravens have really targeted Trey in the first half.
Out of Pensacola, Florida, we get a new back in, and Joe Slattery for Central Methodist on his 3rd down 5 call. Back to throw. Garrett gets it away. It's going to be caught 45-40, picking up a first down and dragging a defender out of bounds. Reed Levi, he is big and strong, and Marquise Daniels is big and strong. That was a tremendous matchup. Reed Levi, 6'4", 223 for Benedict Man out of Rockhurst. Marquise Daniels, 6'3", 240 out of Trumbull. So that was a great matchup. Numbers 8 and number 9 goes out of bounds, and the Ravens will have a first down all the way to the 34. Benedictine now well into Central Methodist territory. Clock rolling along at 10:40 to go in the third quarter, and the Ravens leading at 21-17. Back to throw, no. Handoff is going to go into the left side of the line, Damon Weigand, but he has stood up and grabbed and just thrown it to the ground. Short gain, Anthony Hernandez again. Man, those Central Methodist linebackers, they get a lot of tackles, don't they?
Yeah, and they run a 43 defense, right? And the guys up front, the four up front do a great job of swallowing up the blockers, and those linebackers do a nice job of filling the gaps and making the tackles at the line of scrimmage. Now, it's going to be a 2nd and 10 for the Raven offense. Now they're going to tuck in a new tight end out there. It's going to be Harry Bulky.
Rayshon Mills in the backfield for BC. 2nd down, 10, straight ahead, goes Rayshon to the 30. Rayshon, great job of following his blocking. Superb fundamental play. Gets inside the 25, rides the wave to a Benedictine first down. That was well done. And I'm looking, coming up off the bottom of that stack, as John Capron is down there for BC. Also, Clayton Mordecai.
Yeah, this time the big guys up front were able to push forward and make a little room. You talk about Mordecai. 6'4", 305-pound senior out of Kearney, Missouri.
1st and 10, Benedictine. The Ravens have taken the football to begin the second half and have slowly, methodically moved it downfield. 1st and 10 with 9:20 to play in the third quarter. Ravens at the 24-yard line of CMU. Another design quarterback draw, and this time Garrett Kettle is hit in the midsection and will fall forward with that 6'4" frame and pick up those 2 yards that way. 2nd and 8.
That time Anthony Hernandez coming up to make the stop on the play. Hernandez, the number 4 tackler on the Central Methodist team, coming into today's game. 35 tackles, 2.5 for a loss, and it'll bring up 2nd and 8 for the Raven offense. They're going to go with that speedy trips to the right side and put Damon Weigand in. We're seeing a little more of Damon Weigand in the second half at the running back.
No receivers to the left side of the field, and quarterback is back. Being flushed out, gets it away to Weigand. He slips and falls and goes to a knee and loses yardage, and he thought he was going to be able to take off and run and did not have the balance to keep his feet beneath him as he tried to make that cut and loses 3.
He's going to lose 3 on the play. So now the Ravens are looking at a 3rd and 11. They're going to take out of the ball game the tight end Reed Levi, bring back in Peyton Huzuga. Huzuga, a transfer from Kansas Wesleyan, a 6'2", 196-pound junior of San Diego, California. 2 catches last week.
Ravens in 4-down territory at the Eagle 25-yard line. 3rd down, 11. Kettle, the long count, will make the pitch, trying the left side. Here's Weigand, hit as he crosses the line of scrimmage, and again nearly coughs it up, but able to wrap up the football is Anthony Hernandez again with a tackle for CMU. And Benedictine is going to bring in the field goal unit. And my only question, Gus, is how serious are they about this? Because we're talking about a 40-yard field goal that would be a great score for the Ravens if they can put it in there.
Colin Bruner out there, his long is 35 this season. He is 1 of 1 on field goals.
So they're spotting it at the 30-yard line. It is held by quarterback Garrett Kettle. Snap back is good, and there's the fake. And the kicker sweeps to the right side, turns upfield, and he's not going to be anywhere close. I couldn't help but wonder how serious they were. We have not seen that fake before, but Gus, that might have worked on a, and it would have worked on a 4th down and 4 or 5, but it's not going to work on 4th and 11.
You know the problem they gave that whole play away? Garrett Kettle was your holder. He kept looking over to the Ravens sideline. He kept turning around, staring at the Ravens sideline. And if you're going to kick that, you would never really look at the sideline because there's nothing to talk about, right? I think he kept looking over, making sure that the play still was on and they weren't going to pull it off and kick it after all. So a tough break right there for the Ravens. They put together a lot of yardage and took a little time off the clock, but come up short on downs. And so now it'll be the first possession of the second half. for Central Methodist. Hand off into the middle is going to be good for a yard or two for CMU. Second down and nine. Yeah, the Ravens used over half of the third quarter on that possession and come up empty. Second down, nine, CMU. Jalen James with another tackle right there for the Ravens. We talked about it early on in the ball game. His very first tackle of the day moved him into sole possession of number two all-time tackler on the Benedictine's list. Now, trying to chase down Paul Howe, that's going to be a list. I mean, he's going to have to average about 14 a game to catch that.
21-17, BC in front. DeLaurent back to throw, gets it over to the near side, and a wide open receiver. 25-30, 35-40, crossing midfield. Ravens trying to catch him, and they may not. At the 40-30, they are not going to catch him, are they? At the 15-10, down to the 5, and inside the 5-yard line. What a job by Adam Wilbers coming from behind. But Gus, that was an 80-yard play by Central Methodist.
Yeah, Central Methodist able to throw a screen off into the right flat, and the running back was able to just pick up great yardage, a couple big blocks by the wide receivers down the field. And now Central Methodist looks a little confused with their player personnel. They're racing new guys out there. It is first and goal inside the 5. They're going to mark it down at the 4-yard line.
They're bringing in the jumbo offensive package, basically. That short yardage offense. And looking to see if they cannot punch it in. Quarterback is DeLaurent. Hands off, running back, stood up, nothing doing. He's going to maybe lose a yard.
Heath Baker in on the stop right there, the 6'3", 250-pound freshman out of Atchison High School.
So the running back on that play for CMU, not on any list here, that is Brandon Bolton, the junior from Wichita Falls, Texas. And Bolden is going to stay in at the running back spot. QB is back to throw. Throwing deep. Fade pattern. And it is caught out the back of the end zone. It's not in, or is it? No. Incomplete.
That time the quarterback had to get rid of it a little quicker than he wanted to. Jalen James was screaming off the edge. The quarterback just threw one up into a spot. And that time led his receiver a little too far out of bounds.
This is going to bring up a third down for Central Methodist, third and goal, CMU, just inside the 5-yard line. They've got a new fullback in there, too, in addition, when they're going to bring him out, you call it an H-back, that's Kion Bass, a big tight end out of League City, Texas. CMU in a power running formation. And we have a lot of jumping. Which way did it go? They're pointing, everyone is pointing at the other.
So Benedictine jumped, and then as they were coming back, a Central Methodist offensive lineman jumped and reached out and touched the helmet. You could say that he was drawn offsides. I would also be shocked if they don't call Central for.
Officials having a big powwow again. We've seen quite a bit of that here this afternoon. Here comes your call.
Defense number 91 in the neutral zone. 5-yard penalty.
So half the distance to the goal will really be about a 2.5-yard penalty. That'll bring up third and goal for Central Methodist from the 2.5.
Here comes CMU. Quarterback DeLaurent will turn, pump it once, run, rolling left. He's got a beat on the end zone, and he goes in. Is it a touchdown?
No, he's short.
He is short. And DeLaurent was hit, and he tumbled, and he somersaulted through the air. And it is short of the goal line, fourth down, CMU. Gus, so, that was a high-risk play, man.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what happened. He tried to jump over Josh Morris. That's great. You did it, but Jalen James was right there to hit him.
Now the quarterback is pushing and leaning and stretching, and the Ravens say that it stopped at CMU. Have they taken a timeout? The officials are stopping the clock, and we got an Eagle timeout before that. We're going to hang on to it right here. Paxton DeLaurent's parents are delightful people, and they are sitting immediately adjacent to us outside. And Dad is just, like, breathing a huge sigh as his son got tumbled down there. That was a spectacular hit.
Let's talk about Paxton DeLaurent, because he is out of Camdenton, Missouri. One of his coaches in high school, Andrew Nolte, an ACCHS product from just outside. You know, Atchison, kind of out more towards that Nortonville area, went on to play offensive line at William Jewell. So, got some local ties.
There you go. The spot of the ball is still on the 2-yard line. The Ravens were thrilled. They thought that the fourth down play had actually gone off, but the official stopping the play saying that from the sideline a timeout had been called, and they did not get it in.
Okay, so if you're Central Methodist, you realize that from the 1 yard line, you weren't able to push that thing across with your 6'6" quarterback. Do you come back to that play?
Or kick a field goal?
You don't kick a field goal.
Okay, I'm just throwing that out as an option.
You are going to kick a field goal. I'm not so sure I'm on board with this. No, okay. Petrin started to run out there and then came back. But if I'm Central Methodist, again, I think I just let my big quarterback try to lean forward and get this thing. But, again, the Ravens have done a good job down here on defense.
We're going to see they got everybody jammed in tight. I've never seen a formation as tight as this. Fourth down and two. Quarterback will keep it, and he will push. And the Ravens have stopped him, I believe. The officials run in, and they're going to call it a touchdown. It took him a long time to get that thing unpiled, but Benedictine has been scored on with 5:22 to play in the third quarter. Eagles back in front, 23-21. Here we await the point after attempt. PAT is going to be coming off the toe of Petrin. He is pretty much automatic, 22 of 23 this season coming into the game today. The placement is down, and the kick is right there. Taking a break at 5:22 to go in the third quarter in Fayette, where it's Eagles 24, Ravens 21.
It's back to school, and also to the seasonal routines filled with school time errands and activities. Hi, this is Dr. Brian Casey of Union State Bank of Atchison, and also a part-time college educator. As we get busier, Union State Bank makes keeping up with banking convenient and easy. With mobile banking, you can bank wherever you are, and you can pay bills and make transfers online and much more. With text alerts and our new budget bubbles, you'll stay right on track with Union State Bank, no matter how busy life gets. NMLS number 654946, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
The Fall Blizzard Menu is here at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. The fall menu includes sea salt toffee fudge, Oreo mocha fudge, Choco dipped strawberry, and the Royal Ultimate Choco Brownie. And the featured blizzard of the month is the Reese's Pieces Cookie Dough Blizzard. Find it all at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill.
KAIR-FM Horton, Atchison.
As we return, the kick of the way taken by Buteau inside the 5 yard line. He'll come around the left side and advance the ball to where Benedictine will begin this series. First and 10 of their own 25 yard line. And again, those running backs have got to watch the blocking in front of him. Buteau, had he stayed with the block of Connor Walker in front of him, he had an avenue, but instead, he runs to the other side and basically into the blocked defender, who then makes a very easy tackle.
Yeah, so again, a little miscue right there by the special teams and for Benedictine. They had three straight possessions of touchdowns, but their first possession here in the second half ended on a fake field goal that went awry.
Quarterback Eric Kendall is back to throw, in trouble, running, rolling, running, rolling. Now he's going to slide down and maybe get a yard or two. It'll be very short advance of the football for Benedictine, bringing up now second down, 9. We're at 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Ravens trail by 3.
Taking a look at the numbers for Garrett Kettle today. 21 of 25 passing for 180 yards and 2 touchdowns. Paxton De La Ron for Central Methodist, 12 of 28, 215 yards of passing and 1 touchdown.
Second down, 9, Benedictine. Ravens, plenty of time, taking their time. The handoff is going to go to Rayshon. Gets a block to the 25, up very close to the 30-yard line. He's going to pick up about 5 yards on that run into the left side. And once again, all the tackling done, this time by London Chambers, all the tackling for Central Methodist is done by the linebacking trio.
Yeah, their linebackers did a great job in this 43 defense that Central Methodist is base front. And right now, Central Methodist is front four, doing a good job of eating up blockers.
Third down, 5 BC at their own 30. Big play for momentum's sake. Here's the pass to the right side, and it's going to go incomplete in and out of the hands of Reed Levi. And Gus Benedictine ultimately used very, very little time on that possession. Clock stops at 4:01, so they took a minute 21 off the clock, and they're going to give the ball back to Central Methodist, with whom the emotion and
momentum rides. How about this? This is going to be the first time this afternoon we're going to see Matt Heinrich in to punt. And he's going to be kicking into the wind. Return man for CMU is going to line up at his own 30-yard line. So Central Methodist is expecting about a 40-yard punt. Snap back is perfect, shoulder high. The kick is away, and the wind is going to knock it down. It is an extremely short kick. It'll take a bit of a Raven bounce at the 45 and roll down to the 41-yard line. That's a 29-yard punt, and what, Gus, 3.2 on hang time, not a very good kick.
Yeah, that was a tough break right there for the Ravens. And, again, another special teams miscue in for Central Methodist. They've had no problems moving the football this afternoon. They have had problems trying to get points on the board at all times, but they're going to have a little shorter field, the ball out to their own 41.
They haven't had trouble scoring for pretty much anywhere, so a short field, even better for CMU, who leads by three with inside 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. Quarterback DeLaurent, wraparound handoff. We see a rare carry here, bouncing away, go to the outside, 45, 50 in Raven territory, all the way down to the Benedictine 47-yard line. There was a big block in the backfield, and nearly, I would have thought, a hold. The official's going to let it go as the running back, Armand Keeley, held on to it and finally rode the Benedictine defender, Gavin Spangler, to the ground. That is a first and 10 CMU. Eagles quickly back up to the line of scrimmage. You've got their tight end in the slot left. Handoff is going to go to the running back. He starts left, cuts back right, goes into the middle of the defensive front, and picks up about 3 yards to the Benedictine 45-yard line. And for Central Methodist, you got to understand, you got the ball, you got the lead. What you don't have is any reason to hurry. And they are doing a good job of being patient, rolling time off the clock, and running the ball this time again is going to be Brandon Bolton, the junior from Wichita Falls, Texas. And again, like so many coaches in this conference, he does not appear on anyone's depth chart, on anyone's two deep, three deep, as all of that stuff is long gone out the window.
So, the official's holding up play right now. Benedictine has a linebacker that is a little slow to get up. This will allow us a minute to look around the Heart of America Athletic Conference today. A final, Grandview knocked off William Penn today, 38-0. It was Peru State at home, beating Clark, 20-0. The Valor of Evangel leading Missouri Valley, 24-0, with 4:25 left in the first half of that ballgame. Culver Stockton up 26-0 on Central Methodist, still 43 seconds left in the first half there. And the night game, Mid-America will travel to Baldwin City to take on Baker.
Certainly this is the most competitive game around the Heart of America Athletic Conference so far today. 24-21, Central Methodist here at home in front of the Ravens. We've got 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. CMU on the second down, 7 to the Benedictine 45-yard line. They'll again go 3 to the left side. Quarterback is back to throw. Steps up in the pocket. He's got time. Throws one wide open over the middle. It's going to be caught at the 30-yard line. Well-thrown pass and a great route again. And look what CMU has done, Gus, by throwing to Armand Keeley. They are back to that crossing pattern that they exploited so much in the early part of the game.
Yeah, and the Ravens were able to slow it down a little bit in the second and third quarter by getting some rush on the quarterback. But that time, Paxton, under some pressure, was still able to deliver a fantastic pass over the middle, the first down and all the way down to the Benedictine 29-yard line.
I think they're getting a little pressure on the quarterback, but also they're jamming up those receivers at the line of scrimmage. Now the quarterback is going to keep it himself to the 30, bounces outside to the 25, gets away from a defender, and just outruns the Ravens to the far sideline where Tierney is going to get credit for the tackle, chasing him out of bounds. Clock stops at 2.5 to go in the third quarter. Eagles with a 3-point lead and their drive of the football. BC, football on KAIR-FM. Horton Atchison this afternoon. Very, very happy to have you along with us here today. As for the Ravens, a victory is going to have to come by way of comeback. Eagles with the ball, first and 10 at the Raven 19. Again, the handoff, straight ahead running, breaking tackle after tackle, getting inside the 15-yard line, picking up 5 tough yards. The Ravens stop made by Joe Glasser. And it is second down. They're only going to give him the 15-yard line, second down 6.
Joe Glasser, a junior out of Rockhurst in Kansas City. Rockhurst took a thump last night to CBC.
Christian Brothers out of St. Louis going all the way to Kansas City and then hopping on the bus that we saw on the I-70 this morning on their way back home. It is a second and half a dozen at the Benedictine 15-yard line. Kid Lawrence calls signals, pumps once, throws again a man wide open, and it's going to be broken up at the 5-yard line and incomplete. We got all kinds of hard work going on by those linemen, offensive and defensive linemen. None of them are quite ready to quit when the play is over.
Did you see the end of that play? Jalen James was working against Torrance Evans. Torrance Evans is 6'5", 300 pounds, and Jalen James just threw him like a rag doll at the end of that play.
It is third down for CMU. And now the Eagles are going to bring additional receivers in. And again, you got Bolton in the backfield. He's going to be on the left side of the quarterback. Trips to the short side. You don't see a lot of that. Quarterback's back, looking short, throwing short, back in the end zone, and it's going to be incomplete through the hands of the intended receiver. And now for Central Methodist, it'll bring up a fourth down, 7, and likely a field goal effort as Jackson Hoskins, Gus, redshirt freshman out of Blue Valley West, did a great job of getting back there, maybe even deflected that pass a little.
Yeah, it looked like he was able to probably get a hand on that, and that's why the receiver wasn't able to hold on to it. Now for Central Methodist, they're going to line up for a 32-yard field goal.
Pat turn is in. The ball is down. The kick is on its way, and hits it. Timeout in Fayette. 1:05 to go in the third quarter. Now Eagles 27. Eagles 27, Benedictine 21.
Have you met your local Farmers Insurance agent, Sandra Trumpeter? She proudly serves Atchison County families and businesses and is ready to review your existing policies or provide a no-obligation quote today. Call Sandra Trumpeter Agency at 913-367-3232 or stop in today at 312-COMMERCIAL to get smarter about your insurance. Again, that's Sandra Trumpeter Agency at
313-367-3232. We are Farmers.
Mueller's Locker Room is your sports bar for all seasons. Open at 11 a.m. daily, practicing proper social distancing. They are ready to safely serve you. If you aren't ready for the in-house dining experience just yet, it's okay. Mueller's will happily continue with curbside service. Give them a call at 913-367-2727 or see them at 120 South 2nd, in the dugout or on the deck. Let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room, your sports bar for all seasons.
Well, the Central Methodist kickoff is high and deep and wind-aided as it will go into the end zone, and the Ravens are going to take a touchback, have a first and 10 of the 25-yard line. We're in the late going of the third quarter. Ravens find themselves down 6 with a 1:05 to play, 27-21. BC is going to have a little different look in the backfield as Garrett Kettle is going to be joined again by Jay Sean Todd, who's already had one electrifying run this afternoon, averaging 40 yards at carry. Jay Sean will go motion out to the right side. First and 10, Benedictine. Garrett is back, throws one right into the midsection of a defender as Marquise Daniels, because it's 6'3", he was right in front of him, and Garrett drilled him right on the 8.
Yeah, that time Garrett, with no real drop back, he took the snap, stepped right into a pass, and that time the big defensive end able to get his hands up and throw that thing back to the ground. Ravens going to bring their running back into the ballgame. It's going to be Rayshon Mills. They're also going to bring a tight end, Reed Levi, in.
Ravens used 4 seconds on that play. Second down, 10, Benedictine, still at their own 25-yard line. This time the wraparound handoff, running back goes ahead and picks up yardage across the 30, up to the 31. It was a very nice carry by Rayshon Mills into the middle of the line.
For Rayshon Mills this afternoon, that's going to be his 14th carry for, let's call it, 42 yards on the afternoon.
And so Rayshon, as we now go to game 7 of the season, Rayshon has over 300 yards rushing and is the Ravens' leading running back at carrying the football. Third down 4 for Benedictine at the 31. QB's back, fires it right, and catching it from his knees on a pass thrown short That was a great job across the way by Austin Buteau, and he will pick up a first and 10. I don't know if that was just him coming back and doing everything he could to make that catch, or if the quarterback had to throw it that short to try to get him to come back from the defender who had the deep coverage. But either way, Benedictine will advance the chains, and we are not going to get another play off. That's the end of the third quarter. Timeout on the field in Fayette, Missouri. After three, Eagles 27, Benedictine 21.
Whether it's normal automotive maintenance like oil changes and wiper replacement, or more serious repairs like starters and alternators, Atchison Auto Parts is your local stop for everything you need to keep your vehicle running at peak performance. Locally owned and operated, you'll recognize the car guys behind the counter, and they'll get you the right part. They carry a line of diesel engine parts, including turbos, injection pumps, and injectors for Duramax, Cummins, and Powerstroke engines. Atchison Auto Parts, your independent Napa dealer at 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Once upon a time, in 1856, there was a small community bank that really valued their customers and worked very hard to serve them. This hometown bank continued this practice year after year. It grew and prospered, and more people became customers. After 165 years, it has remained a strong and secure financial organization. All this time, it never lost sight of what made it strong, their customers. Come and bank happily ever after with Exchange Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Welcome back. Benedictine football here on CARE Radio. We go to the fourth quarter with Central Methodist at home leading the Ravens 27-21. Good to have you with us here this afternoon. Benedictine has the football. It's a first and 10 Ravens at their own 37-yard line. Benedictine in the home, or the in the entire white uniforms, white jerseys, white pants. Quarterback is back, and it is again a QB draw to the 40, 44-yard line, picking up about seven. Is quarterback Garrett Kettle.
You hit the fast forward button about 2 weeks, and you're thinking the home whites, right?
Yeah, and we will be. On the 30th of this month, we're going to have our first basketball here on CARE Radio. Football in the afternoon, basketball doubleheader in the evening on the 30th. It's just getting to be that time of year already. Second down three. Benedictine at the 44, their own.
Okay.
Jay Sean will take it. It's going to be a reverse. Back to Garrett. And he's back to throw. He's got a receiver. He's open. Makes a catch at the 15-yard line over the shoulder. How about Austin Buteau? He's back on the receiving end.
That was a fantastic play right there by the Ravens. It was a snap to Jay Sean Todd. He ran to the right. All of a sudden, coming back across the formation was Garrett Kettle. So Jay Sean pitches it to Kettle, and Kettle throws a laser down the field and finds Austin Buteau. And for Buteau, it's his fourth reception of the game. And for the Ravens, they are now down inside the 20 at the 14-yard line.
Cousins, we hope everybody's enjoying the game everywhere from South Korea to Wichita to Palm Beach. And the Ravens snap back. Quarterback picks it up and tosses it left side. And they're going to say he's down, I think, here in the backfield where he lost the handle. And Garrett's had a hard time getting his mitts on that ball today.
Yeah, that time Zion Mathis snapped back to Garrett Kettle was a little low. Kettle had to go down, and he picked it up, found himself with a knee on the ground. 13:28 left here in the ball game. Benedictine right now trailing 27-21.
Did you see the glow in the southeast sky last night? You thought it was a launch at Titusville. In fact, it was birthday candles in Palm Beach.
Yep.
Bet you didn't know that. In case you're wondering what that glow was. Second down, after the loss on a play, Benedictine, second down 13, inside the 25. Kettle will keep it himself, cuts left, gets a block, and ankle tackled at the 10. I thought he was going to get closer down to the 5-yard line, but a nice defensive play to reach in and get a hand in there and take him off balance. It'll leave the Ravens facing a third and 8 at the 10-yard line.
That time Will Meyer is able to get a hand up there and make the stop on the play. And for Benedictine, going to take a little extra time to talk about this one. 20 seconds left on the play clock.
Gathright is coming off the field for Benedictine on this third and long call.
They're going to bring Hazuga to the left, and on the right, it's going to be Kadena.
Rayshon is your running back. Long count. QB's back to throw. Looks left. Fade pattern. Back corner of the end zone. Is it caught? And they're going to say no. Deep in the back of the end zone.
And again, lots of contact between the receiver and the defender. And now, Benedictine will be looking for the field goal effort. Cullen is in there to kick. Cullen Bruner, Ravens. If you remember, they faked this the last time. And we'll see if they are going for it here. It is down, it is up, and I'm not sure he got it. No. That thing was so wide to the left side, I could see it from here. So the Ravens failed to score twice on deep drives into their opponent's territory with 12:15 to play in the ballgame. Still trailed by six at 27-21.
The Ravens are going to have to call on their defense to pick them up a little bit on this possession right here. A missed field goal in for Central Methodist. They're going to start their ninth possession of the ball game so far here in the second half. Their first two possessions have ended in a touchdown and a field goal.
So for Benedict, again, you're going to have to lean on that defense. You're going to have to hope to that they got to do two things. They've got to not allow additional points and keep you therefore within one possession. And they got to get the ball back for their offense and preferably in some pretty good field position. So they're going to have to come out here and have a big stand. Here comes CMU's offense. We're at 12:15 to play in the game, 27-21. Eagles in front. This is the first game of divisional play. So important to get off on the right side of this thing, and the Ravens can ill afford to lose any games. Quarterback Dean LaRont starts the signal, stops, looks to the near side. Here's a little wraparound handoff with plenty of room, and then quickly closes up as he crosses the 20 to the 22-yard line, Jalen James. He comes out of nowhere to make those great one-on-one tackles.
Yeah, it looked like Jalen James was going to get caught up in the offensive line, and next thing you know, he's able to burst through, grab the running back, throw him for a short gain on the play. It's called second and seven now for the Central Methodist offense.
Clock is rolling along. It is merciless with 11:45 to play. Ravens down a half a dozen. Just after this play, an observation and just a thought as the quarterback will keep it. He'll bounce outside, gets away from one, gets away from two. Look out, he's got room, 45, and running out of bounds along the near side, Paxton DeLaron. Again, smart enough not to take any contact. No one has gotten a glove on him today. He has been absolutely Teflon.
Yeah, the Ravens not taking very good angles right there to get a hold of Paxton, and what a big play right there by the freshman.
Is it something that we're just seeing with these two teams today? Is it something that is kind of prevalent across football? Quarterbacks who start to call signals and look to the sideline. Both of these quarterbacks are doing this today, and it's making each snap just take forever.
It's a coaching thing.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
It's a coaching style. At the 47-yard line, the handoff in the middle, and again, running to the left side, breaks one tackle, gets away. Here it comes across midfield, inside the 45, down to the 42-yard line. Ravens finally making a tackle, but the missed tackle by Connor Walker allowed a big gain. And in Raven territory, it's another first and 10 for CMU.
Raven's going to make mass substitutions on the defense. Look at this. Five new guys are going to come in. Right now, defensive coordinator Caleb Cook just looking for five that can wrap up and bring somebody to the ground. You're going to see Dwayne Lacy in there. You're going to see Joey Burke in the middle. In the linebacking core, good to see Tyler Wilson and Brian Barrera back in there.
With a tall, tall quarterback and a very, very, very small running back, Central Methodist, first and 10 at the Raven 42. QB is going to keep it. Again, ducks inside, and this time the defender is able to reach out and grab him by the jersey, and Tyler Wilson is able to slow down the quarterback and then bring him to the ground for no gain. He had him for a short loss, but give Tyler a lot of credit for not giving up on that tackle and being tenacious.
Yeah, Tyler Wilson, the senior out of San Clemente, California, able to make the stop on the play. That'll bring up now a second and 10 for Central Methodist. But right now, if you're the Eagles, patience might be the name of the game.
Langolas is the running back. They've got him at 5'10". Make that 7. And second down, 10 for CMU. 10:25 to go. We've got penalty markers coming from the line judge across the way.
The wide receiver over there, get off. That time, Cole Schroeder was lined up, and he kind of flexed in his stance a little bit, and the official right there on top of it able to catch it. So the five-yard penalty will back up Central Methodist to outside the 45 to the 47-yard line. It'll be second and 15 there.
Shorter has two catches, 24 yards today. He's wanting to have a week like last week where he had 14 for 230 for or his season, 14, 234, and 3 for 92 and a couple of touchdowns last week. I got an idea he might have been the target on that pass. Second down and 15. We'll see if they go back to Schroeder. Play clock at 5, 4, 3. The snap at 2. QB again is back, going deep, lofting downfield. He wants Schroeder, and it's intercepted by Benedicta inside the 10 by Adam Wilbers. The Ravens anticipated the play. Wilbers had drawn double coverage, and it was a tremendous defensive play for BC.
Yeah, Adam Wilbers doing a great job of getting back there, turning himself around, finding the football. And for Paxton De Laurent, that is going to be his ninth interception on the season. And for the Ravens, taking over deep in their own territory. But again, the offense has got to get something going.
Great job of the defense. They got the ball back. They gave up no points. And really, CMU did not take a ton of time off the clock. We're at 9:47 to go in the ball game. Benedictine with a football, needing a touchdown, turning a 27-21. No more can they be kicking field goals or trying to kick field goals or faking kicking field goals. Here's a crossing pattern taken by Trey. Adger's hit at the 15, down to the 16-yard line. A lot of running, gaining 5.
Well, and Trey Adger's one of those guys that they're just going to have to get the ball into his hands again. In the first half, he was extremely productive. Right now, 8 catches today, goes over 80 yards receiving right there. And again, he's just such a sure-handed ball catcher out there.
Don't you think that you're going to have to see Adger, Gathright, Todd, the really speedy guys that are going to be able to get these people downfield? Second down, 5. Kettle, a little shovel pass, taken by the big guy, and Reed Levi is going to be hit, pushed forward, cross the 20, pick up the Benedictine first down.
That time, inside screen right there for the Ravens, and inside tight end screen. Marquise Daniels makes a stop on the play for Central Methodist, but not before Benedictine is able to pick up their 23rd first down of the afternoon.
Ray Shotton to the left side of quarterback Garrett Kettle. First and 10, Benedictine to their own 20-yard line. Reed Levi will shift over again to the tight end on the left side. Play action, quarterback rolling left, tons of time, has a man open. It's going to be caught across the 25 and pushed out of bounds. We'll see the officials going to mark him down right at the 30. That's about a 9-yard gain on a nice pass over to the left side of the Ravens with a second and short.
That time coming up to make the stop for Central Methodist, it was Kamal, the junior out of East Orange, New Jersey. And there's a little word with the Ravens sideline after he made that tackle. I'm not sure why he's excited. He gave up 9 yards on the play.
Second down, 1. Benedictine from their own 30. Motion will come to the near side. And next, give it to Jay Sean. He slows down, cuts inside, spins 360, goes to the 35, keeps his feet beneath him, goes to the 40. He picks up about 11 on the carry. It's a first and 10. Benedictine to their own 40-yard line. Clock at 8:17 to play today.
Nice job right there by Jay Sean. He had it idled down. He was looking for somewhere to maybe exploit a little bit of a gap. Nothing doing right there, but a big day so far for the freshman.
First and 10, BC. Trips left. No one wide right. Now 4 receivers left side. Straight ahead running to Ray Sean. Nothing there. He's going to be dropped for a loss. Will they give him back the original line of scrimmage? Because there was nothing there. And again, London Chambers, one of the linebackers in there, and also a little bitty defensive back is in there, Mahed Kamel. We've talked about him during the course of the afternoon. But again, CMU's D linemen are taking up a plenty of space and allowing those linebackers to get up on that line very quickly and make tackles.
So a loss of 1 on the play. It'll bring up 2nd and 11 for the Ravens. They are going to bring Gaff right back into the game and line him up to slot on the left side.
Kyron Collins comes in defensively also, going over to the far side on his second down long call. Quarterback is back to throw. Fires one left side and diving for it, picking up only 5 yards. It's going to be Jay Sean, a poorly thrown pass.
Yeah, and that time Jay Sean was working out in some space. And I'm going to tell you, that time the safety really thrilled that that was a poorly thrown ball because he did not want to have that much room trying to tackle Jay Sean out there.
Multiple substitutions on both sides of the football as for Benedictine. It is a big play, and the time is getting away. Ravens may touch the ball one more time today. We're at 6:40 to go and rolling. Third down, 6. Benedictine at their own 46. They got to get this thing to the midfield mark. And the official's going to run up the defense and take it a timeout, and so will we. Taking a break at 6:42 to go in the ball game. It remains Eagles 27, Benedictine 21.
Hundley Liquor is the place to go for your favorite beverages.
stop by and check out their beer selection. They are carrying lots of new beers, and they always have cold ones ready to go. Also in stock is an array of seltzers, wines, and spirits, something for everyone. Stop by and check it out. You may find a new favorite. Honey Liquor, 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Honey Liquor.
Skyway Vapes has a new home. See them at 7-Eleven Commercial Street for your vaping products. They carry everything you need to get started on your journey to a healthier alternative to smoking, carrying products ranging from mini pod systems all the way up to intermediate mods. Check them out at their new location, 7-Eleven Commercial in Atchison. Still with those great hours, open 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 7 on Sunday. It's Skyway Vapes in Atchison.
Here comes the Benedictine offense coming out of the defensive timeout. It is a third down, 6 Ravens at their own 42. Back to throw, Garrett Kittle. Sliding right, now the pressure's on. Running for his life, running, throwing, and it is picked off. Kittle throws it right into the arms of a defender at the 40, and he will go down at the 49-yard line. Kittle with another turnover. That time, Brandon Molinari, his third interception of the season. That time, he did a great job of reading that route. His receiver was falling down, and not really sure what Garrett was thinking on that play. Garrett has played so well the last few weeks, and now that play right there reminded me more of the Peru night.
Yep, Benedictine, only 21 points today. 6:29 to go. They trail the Eagles 27-21.
So the defense, after getting an interception on their last possession, going to be called on yet again to stop the Central Methodist team and stop them quickly.
Two to the right, one to the left for Dean Lawrence, the freshman. Wraparound handoff. They're going to want to run this ball and take some time and getting across midfield, picking up a couple of yards only is going to be Keatley. It'll be a short gain, and once more we're going to see another tackle by Jalen James for the Ravens.
Yeah, Jalen James having a great afternoon for Benedictine. But for Central Methodist, a two-yard gain. But bigger than that, they're able to keep the clock moving. And at some point, Benedictine probably going to have to start utilizing some of those timeouts. They do have all three left in their back pocket.
It is going to bring up a third down, or rather second down and eight call. Second down and eight. Just across midfield. Seamy will take plenty of time. Smart play. 5 seconds, four of the play clock now. Quarterback will keep it himself now. And penalty marker still. Somebody was moving out there.
Now the problem was everybody moved except the center didn't get the ball back quick enough. You had Catavius Taylor over here that was about 10 yards down the field. So instead of second and eight, you're going to be looking at second and 13.
This will take a little bit of time and get this thing all set. 5:44 to go.
5 yard
penalty. Just another snap. Again, the time is the deal. Central Methodist does not need to score. They just want to take a little time off the clock and leave Benedictine with as little opportunity to come from behind as they can, leading here over the Ravens 27-21. D. Lauren, hands off, running back, hit from behind. He's got to be brought down, and a late penalty marker. Flies at in the backfield.
Yeah, you got to think that could be a face mask or a possible horse collar. I mean, because that was thrown right at the point of tackle. Unless there was some kind of a hold, I mean, you got to think that's probably against the Raven defense.
Second down and 13 on that call. 5:36 left to go in the game. 27-21. CMU in front.
And Jalen James is over here talking that, you know, he got held on that play. I'm going to tell you, Jalen probably gets held on a lot of plays. The official's going to pick up the flag and wave it off. No penalty on the play. It'll bring up now a third and, wow, they're going to back this thing up. Third and 15 now for Central Methodist.
Shadow's just beginning to reach the edge of the playing surface here in Fayette, Missouri. And the Eagles looking at an apparent passing down, third down, 15. Big call for the Benedictine defensive front. Ravens up there in the front with Hurtado and Spangler playing the left DN spot. Anderson is in the middle. Third down and back to throw.
quarterback rolling, chase, hit, falling down. As he gets it away, it's going to be caught way short of the first down. He may have picked up five. He certainly did not pick up 15. Josh Morris had the pressure on the quarterback, Paxton De La Ron. So they came with a cornerback blitz and dropped the linebacker, Jalen James, into coverage. As soon as that ball was caught, Jalen James was there to make the tackle. A gain of five on third down, and Central Methodist is going to have to punt this thing away.
For Benedictine now, it'll take some offensive heroics. 4 minutes and 40 seconds. The clock continues to roll.
Look at Catavius Taylor over here in his body language. I don't think he's exactly happy with what happened on that possession.
Play clock's in single digits. 4.5 to go. Look at the big man in the middle blocking in the backfield for the punter. Play clock at zeros as the ball gets snapped. The kick is away, and it will turn over, take a huge CMU bounce, and it's going to go dead at the 13-yard line. Buteau all season has flirted with that football as it bounds around, but Ravens are going to have it. They got a long way to go and a little time to get there. 4:13 to go, 27-21. Central Methodist in front of Benedictine. Ravens will have a full complement of timeouts. It says two up there, but it is three. CMU has one timeout remaining. Officials are going to spot the ball down. Benedictine, 88 yards from where they need to get.
But the advantage is you've at least got the football.
Yeah, he's got the football.
I mean, it could be the other way, and Central Method is still trying to milk time off the clock. The Ravens are going to go that wildcat formation with Jay Sean at the quarterback. And now Central Methodist, did they just burn their final timeout?
They certainly did. We're taking a break. CMU uses their third. 4:13 left in the game. Eagles 27, Benedictine 21.
Subway makes it their priority to serve you the delicious meals you love in the easiest and safest ways possible. Order in-store, online, or through the Subway app for carry-out service. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Check out their fresh melts, signature wraps, protein bowls, and amazing salads at Subway under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
A wise investor once said, "The stock market is filled with individuals who know the price of everything, but the value of nothing." At Cottle Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to know the difference between value and price. Whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with, give us a call to learn more at 367-2700, 367-2700. Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Good to have you back with us here in Fayette. Benedictine going to the Wildcat, and as a play in Bulls, penalty marker sailing, Ravens have called for a holding. Give him to the outside. Wide receiver Peyton Hazuga coming to the near side is going to be called for a hold, and a junior from San Diego comes Benedictine, a big gain plus penalty yardage plus, Gus, some time off the clock. We're down to clock is rolling again, inside 4 minutes to go. Benedictine back up here is Garrett Kittle. Back in at quarterback. Rayshon behind him, and the offense moves, and Benedictine just coming apart at the offensive seams right now. The left tackle getting underway a little bit quickly, I thought. There you go. So the Ravens will lose additional yardage. And now they're looking at a first down from their own 7-yard line. It's first down, Benedictine, and 15. 3:47 to go in the game. Ravens down 6. Quarterback will keep it himself. Kettle goes straight ahead, and he'll get about 5. But Gus, that is not the kind of fat yardage the Ravens are going to need.
And Jay Sean, he's right over there. He throws up his hands after they pull the ball from him, and he's like, that was the wrong read. Like, the defensive end crashed, and Kettle kept the ball. That was going to be a huge gainer right there if he just hands the ball off to Jay Sean.
Garrett looking first to the left, into the right a little bit. Now he's trying to move his running back to his opposite side. back to throw, Kettle, stepping around, looking. He's got all day. He could surely pick out somebody here. Now he's just going to start running. Now he pulls it back down, and now he's just going to throw it away. And it will be for Benedict then a third down and double digits with 3:04 to go. 27-21, CMU in front. Benedictine having won their last three games by a 195 to, 31 combined score. In trouble here this afternoon on the road. Third down and a dozen. Ravens at the 12, got to get to the 24. Kettle stops, looks, stops again, back to throw. Again with time. The line's giving him tons of time. Now he's going to roll out. Now he's going to have penalty markers thrown, and Ravens nearly get this one picked off. As again, Kettle telegraphs the throw to the near sideline, and jumping the route was Marquise Daniels, and the Ravens are going to be guilty of another hold.
Yeah, and that hold is going to be strictly on Garrett Kettle because the offensive line was doing a great job keeping the pocket, keeping the pocket. So what does Kettle do? Runs high on the pocket, and then that forces a bad angle on the offensive lineman. Right now, Garrett Kettle just got to take a deep breath and regain himself because that's going to make it 4th and 11 when you decline this penalty.
2:50 to go. The crowd on both sides is very quiet. The Benedictine crowd tense and the Central Methodist crowd. And as you call it, they'll decline that penalty. Central Methodist crowd is also kind of holding their breath because we talked to them before the game. They can't remember the last time that CMU has defeated Benedictine. It goes way, way back.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember back in 7, 8, I think. Came in here, and I'm going to tell you, I remember that night. We got throttled.
Here comes some adjustments for the Ravens. They bring Adger into the ball game, and they're going to also come wide to the near side, Harry O'Neill. Benedictine, 4th down and 12. 4th down, they'll go for it from their own 12-yard line. Kettle is back. Again, all day, throws a short pass, and that was a horrible decision. You need 12, you throw a 5-yard route, and Central Methodist, 1st and 10 inside the Benedictine 20.
And again, more decisions that are confusing, right? Like, Garrett Kettle has to understand that that's not a route that you even look at on that play. You had the safeties high, so they were ready for that. Even if you complete it, you've still got to pick up about 7 yards before he can do anything. So the safeties over the top were ready for it. You look over at the far sideline, the Raymond defense has got to do something, but with only 2:42 remaining, Central Methodist is already in field goal range.
No question about it, which would give them a
two-possession
lead. And CMU is taking plenty of time. And on the near sideline, you know that Coach Callaway is saying, guys, take your time. Don't do anything dumb and run this clock out. Let's go home. 27-21, Eagles in front.
And for the Raven defense, they're going to have a look to separate that ball from the Central Methodist players.
Benedictine offense, because if you look at it with the glasses on the far sideline, very dejected, very frustrated-looking group. Here's a straightaway handoff, and the tackle at the line of scrimmage is made by the Ravens, and tick-tock, the clock is rolling along.
Jalen James with yet another stop, and Benedictine will burn a timeout.
Ravens taking a timeout, and we're going to take a break. 2:35 to go in the game. It remains CMU 27, Benedictine 21.
Unley Liquor is the place to go for your favorite beverages. Stop by and check out their beer selection. They are carrying lots of new beers, and they always have cold ones ready to go. Also in stock is an array of seltzers, wines, and spirits, something for everyone. Stop by and check it out. You may find a new favorite. Unley Liquor. 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Hunley Liquor.
Skyway Vapes has a new home. See them at 711 Commercial Street for your vaping products. They carry everything you need to get started on your journey to a healthier alternative to smoking. Carrying products ranging from mini pod systems all the way up to intermediate mods. Check them out at their new location, 711 Commercial in Atchison. Still with those great hours. Open 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 7 on Sunday. It's Skyway Vapes in Atchison.
Oh, yeah. There was somebody with it. Central Methodist coming off the Benedictine timeout. Looking now at a second down 10. And again, they're just going to run into the middle of the line. And the Ravens are going to grab him and hold him up and tackle for no gain, maybe a short loss on the play. And we're going to get another Raven timeout. Gus, we're going to hang on to it right here. What do you say about that?
Sounds like a plan. Take a quick look around the Heart of America and some other games going on today. We talked about that first one. It was Grandview over William Penn today, 38-0. Peru State beat Clark, 20-0. Evangel at the half leads Missouri Valley, 24-9. Culver Stockton, 29-0 on Graceland. That ball game early in the second quarter. And again, the night game tonight, Mid-America and Baker.
So with that said, the Ravens are really the one competitive game going on here today. And this is a great chance to remind you that one of our super sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, these are great people and they can help you with investments, stock market, your plan for retirement, and more than that. So give them a call. Hamada Wealth Management, 928-443-7536. 928-443-7536. Third down 11 for CMU at their own 21-yard line. The snap back. Quarterback's going to keep it. He'll go straight ahead, and Jalen James will make the tackle at the 15-yard line. And a poorly fitting helmet flies off the head of 6'6 Paxton DeLaurent. And it will bring up a fourth down Eagles, and DeLaurent's coming off the field anyway because they will kick the field goal here.
Yeah, that time they were just trying to push forward, pick up as much yardage as they could before they kicked this field goal.
And for CMU, it is going to be a fourth down. You expect the field goal unit to come out. I can't imagine that it won't, that we give them a 9-point lead. It would be a, 32-yard field goal effort. Well within the range of outstanding kicker Samuel Petrin. And it is going to be this 32-yard field goal to seal a win for the home team today. Petrin, 3 seconds, 2 on the play clock. The snap is down. The kick is up. It is right there. It is good. And CMU has taken an insurmountable lead. We're taking a break at a minute 53 to go. Eagles 30, Ravens 21.
Subway makes it their priority to serve you the delicious meals you love in the easiest and safest ways possible. Order in-store, online, or through the Subway app for carryout service. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Check out their fresh melts, signature wraps, protein bowls, and amazing salads at Subway under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Someone once gave this sage advice on investing. Know what you own and why you own it. At Cottle Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to understand what you own and why you own it. Whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with, give us a call at 367-2700, 367-2700. Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
So Benedictine in trouble with a minute 53 to go. They trail by 9. The high end over end kick will be taken by Buteau. 15. They're going to lateral it over to the left side. Taken there by Trey. Tripped up at the 20. Spins away at the 25. Adger crosses the 30. And Ravens get it to the 33-yard line. As they get Jay Sean to the 33-yard line. And Benedictine, Gus is going to have to figure a way to get 9 or more points in a minute 43, and for the Ravens, it's been some time since they've had any points on the board.
Yeah, I like my chances to score 9 in a minute 43 in basketball a little better. I'm not saying it's impossible, but the Ravens have not scored yet here in the second half. You got to go back to 9 seconds left in the first half when they got their last point.
Back to throw goes Kettle. Again, all the time in the world, and again, he's going to run with it, and he's going to take a hard shot as he crosses the 40-yard line, and that will bring up a second down 8.
That time coming up to make the stop for Central Methodist. You're going to have Eric Mays on the play. Quickly, the Ravens back up over the football.
Ravens without any timeouts left. Garrett back to throw again. Throws left, and it's going to be
a pass interference.
Yeah.
Well, is what happened over there was Kayvon Collins just pushed Jayshon Todd all the way out of bounds, and the 15-yard penalty will give the Ravens an automatic first down.
It's not a terrible pass call or a terrible penalty to have, you know, when you're leading by nine. Otherwise, Jayshon makes the catch, probably scores. There is the pass interference
okay.
call.
So it's at the point of infraction. So it'll go all the way down to the 48-yard line. It'll be first and 10 for the Ravens there. And the official's going to move the box.
But again, for Benedictine, because of that last field goal and being a two-score deficit, it's going to take some real magic here with a minute 17 to go. Buteau wide to the left side. Jayshon is in a slot to the near side. Gathright wide to the right. A lot of time involved here. First and 10. Ravens just across midfield here. Garrett back to throw. Steps up. Rolling left. And again, he's going to run with the ball. Goes over to the left side. We'll pick up another first down and race out of bounds. Stopping the clock with a minute 9.
But here's the deal. Central Methodist okay with letting Garrett Kettle run as much as he wants, because that's not going to hurt you. Garrett wants to take 15 seconds off the clock and pick up 10 yards. You're fine. Even if he wants to throw it underneath, you're going to give up those plays. Right now for Central Methodist, they're looking to just keep the top on this thing and not allow the Ravens to get, you know, that deep pass and get behind them right here.
And with that in mind, they are in the very classic cover two down there, right?
Yep.
First and 10, Benedictine inside the 40. Running back Rayshon Mills. Stays in the block. Kettle bouncing around, looking. Now he's throwing short into a lot of traffic. It's going to be caught at the 20, down to the 15, and going to the 10-yard line. Reed Levi. They will stop the clock to advance the sticks. We have 1 minute left. Benedictine is at the 10-yard line. The clock has started to roll. They don't even have the sticks down yet, and the Ravens are going to clock the football. That took 10 seconds off.
Look, and Coach Osborne not
that
really
is nuts.
Well, Coach Osborne's not happy with, I'm not sure if it's the clock or that they went ahead and just killed that. See, the officials are going to come over and they're going to add time to this clock. Because what, 10 seconds for a spike was a little much, right?
It should have taken 2, you know, because you cannot start the clock until the sticks are set and the officials allow you to roll it. And
reset the play clock, and he's going to just leave the game clock at 49. So
there you
I like
go.
It.
Here we go. First down. We're a minute. Excuse me. That should be second down if they fix that. There we go. Let me get this right. Yeah, second down. Ravens just outside the 10-yard line. Kettle, snap back. Looks left. Throws left. Has his man in the back of the end zone. Does he catch it in the field of play? It's going to be incomplete. Out of bounds. Wide to the left. Looking into the left side. Benedictine was for their wide receiver over there, and that was
Pete Cadena.
Was that Pete?
Yep. So Pete Cadena over there not able to haul the ball and in the field of play. It'll be third down for the Ravens. 44 seconds left in the ball game.
Rayshon's going to stay in the backfield. Ravens trying to cut the gap a little bit. QB's back. Looking left. Rolling left. Looking left. Throwing to the back of the end zone. The leap, the catch, the feet are planted. And it is,
what? He was out of bounds, I'm guessing, because the hat came off. And we have a pass interference penalty probably right there at the goal line. So, and we have a Raven down.
We got another Benedictine player slow to climb to his feet out there around the 20-yard line. And again, the officiating crew talking it over.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot of things to work through. They're going to have a receiver probably out of bounds. Then you're going to have a pass interference at the goal line. And, yeah, so all kinds of stuff going on.
Okay, so that's all set, but it's still not a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, other than it took the touchdown off the board because the receiver was out of bounds and then came back in.
37 seconds left in the ball game, and they attend to one of the big Raven linemen who now comes to his feet and is slowly making his way off the field across the way. 30-21. CMU in front. Central Methodist and Benedictine both coming into the ball game today at 4-2, having come out of play in the against teams in the North Division. For the Ravens to have postseason aspirations, guys, you got to sweep through the South. And they're in trouble here this afternoon in game one of the South play. Kettle back to throw. Lobs one into the right side of the end zone and is through the hands of his intended receiver and incomplete. That was out of the reach of Harry. It is going to bring up a second down for Benedictine and goal. Ravens at the 8-yard line. Staying in again to block is going to be Rayshon. Snap back. Kettle back. Looking. Now he's going to run with it. He's going to be tackled at the 5-yard line.
But the problem is now the clock continues to run right there. The Ravens quickly over the football. Garrett Kettle's got to get this thing snapped.
Goes back. Now he's looking to run, throw it. He could run it in if he wants to. He'll go to the left side, puts a head down, and it's going to be pushed out of bounds. He waited way too long to make a decision to sprint with that ball, and he pushed out of bounds at the 2. 13 seconds left. So Benedictine is going to come up with a fourth and goal. Is that what this is going to be? Yep, fourth and goal from a couple of yards out. Are they going to bring in a field goal unit, or are they just going to bring in extra blockers?
They're going to bring in the field goal unit, try to cut the gap here, get an onside kick, and have one shot to come down and score it. But Colin Brunner, now 1 for 2 field goals this season.
It's going to test him. It's going to be a 19-yard field goal. It is down, it is up, and can he get it through there?
Got it.
He does. So with now 10 seconds to play, Benedictine trailing it 30-24. We're going to hang out over here for a moment, Joseph, and the Ravens will be very shortly kicking this away. It will be a squibbed kick. You'll have a hands team in here for Central Methodist. I think, and this is all supposition, but I don't think it's out of the realm of likelihood right here.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. You're going to kick an onside kick right here, and you're hoping to get the ball in one heave to the end zone.
Ravens coming up a far side. Benedictine could, if they could get the ball back, I mean, let's be candid, they have the kind of talent, and they've shown it today, that they can strike from a long way away, because you've got to understand, Benedictine's scoring plays are 17, 16, 19, 73 yards. I mean, they are capable of scoring from long, long range. And it's been a long time since they scored.
Yeah, the Ravens scored with 9 seconds left in the first half, and then that's their first point to the second half. Central Methodist has done a great job, and, you know, hats off to defensive coordinator Marty Stewart this afternoon here in the second half of keeping the Ravens off the scoreboard.
Colin Brunner looking to kick this onside kick, and again, the hands team is out there for CMU, and the officials are going to run up, and are the Eagles going to take? They will take their final timeout. So each team has now utilized their full complement of timeouts, and this game is stretched out now to nearly the top of the hour, nearly 3 hours old.
Do you, I don't know. If you're the Ravens right now and you're going to try to kick this onside kick, you know that they don't hit at such a high percentage, right? So again, you're going to hope for a good bounce right here. You're going to hope that just everything works out. I mean, you're almost better off to pick a point, kick it to it, and hope your guys can get down there fast enough and beat the Central Methodist player to the ball. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, really, your best play right now might be to try to plant one over here at the 20 and hope that your guy can get there before their guy can.
And yeah, that may be your very best shot, because that would perhaps take them a little bit by surprise. There's only a single guy back there that you might have to fend off of the football. So here we go. Colin Brunner, the Benedictine kicker, getting himself settled in and arranged and figuring out what he's going to do with this. And here's a little short squibby kick. It takes a high spinny bounce, and it's going to be tapped around and roll around and go up the field. And did it get out of bounds across the way over there? Apparently it must have. And again, the officials not making indication signals. I never get hand waves or calls.
I guess they're going to say they're still walking around. Are they going to say it's out maybe at the 40?
Kind of looks like it. I don't know. We've got two officials now going to come over. The back judge and field judge are going to come over from this side. And for Central Methodist, I am assuming that they're giving them the football there. And, again, that's That is only a guess because we get no calls from this crew here this afternoon.
There is a penalty marker down, and I'm sure it's for a kickoff out of bounds. But even at that, I thought it was a touch.
Wait to get some kind of a call from the crew here.
Right, I mean, they're going to call Benedictine for a kickoff out of bounds, but again, I don't know that that's the right call because I thought it was touched, but neither here nor there. Central Methodist is going to have the ball fall to a knee here with 7 seconds and come away with their first win in a few years against Benedictine.
Yes, it is, and CMU goes to the victory formation. They're going to reach down, take the snap, and that's going to do it. Your final score this afternoon, Central Methodist 30, Benedictine 24. We'll be back to wrap it up for you right after this.
Stay tuned for the Benedictine Raven post-game wrap right after this.
This flu season, drive-through flu shot events will be held at most Amberwell primary care locations, including Atchison, Hiawatha, Horton, Troy, and Leavenworth. Flu vaccines are free with most insurance plans. In order to help the events run as smoothly as possible, registration is encouraged. Dates and times are limited, so visit amberwellhealth.org or call 913-370-9839 to register now.
New at Taco John's in Atchison, Queso Blanco Creations. The Queso Blanco menu includes the double cheese chicken boss burrito and Queso Blanco loaded nachos. It's bigger, bolder, better. And check out their new fried chicken tacos with chipotle lime or spicy jalapeno ranch. It's all at Taco John's, just south of the tracks on 10th Street in Atchison. Taco John's, ole the day.
With you here at Davis Field on the campus of Central Methodist in Fayette, Missouri, where this afternoon the Eagles, Gus, led almost coast to coast and knocked off Benedictine here this afternoon 30-24. Central Methodist taking advantage of a lot of Raven miscues over the course of the game, a couple of early turnovers that they were able to turn into points, and then the Raven offense misfiring and not able to move the ball in the second half and only scoring that late field goal with 10 seconds to go in the game. So, for Benedictine, a hard way to start the divisional part of the season.
So at halftime, the Ravens were a perfect 10 of 10 on third down, right? In the second half, they went 0 of 6 on third down, finishing the game 10 of 16. They were 0 for 2 on fourth down. Total yards, thank you very much. Sorry, it just takes me a second to pull them through here. So total yardage today, 513 yards of total offense for Benedictine. Central Methodist with only 362. But again, you're going to go back to Benedictine really struggling with turnovers here. A fumble on their first possession, a fumble at the one-yard line in their second possession, and then an interception on their ninth possession of the game. So Benedictine with only 10 possessions today. Central Methodist, they had 11 possessions today and were able to get, you know, touchdowns on, what, three of them and a couple field goals sprinkled in here and there. And for Central Methodist, came away with a big win. And right now, things look bright for the Central Methodist squad, right? You got a freshman quarterback that played really well today. And for Benedictine, you're going to fall to 4-3. We could probably be honest that, you know, at 4-3, the postseason is going to be, you know, very bleak at this point. So for Benedictine, it's rally the troops here in the second half of the season and, you know, make the most out of this season because you can't allow it to spiral at this point.
No, you got to, now, the big job for the coaching staff is to, you know, pull this thing back together, not let it come apart at the seams. Next week, you've got that natural, you know, emotion boost of homecoming and Hall of Fame weekend, and they're going to have to rally around that as they come back home and face another tough conference opponent.
Yeah, going to get Missouri Valley coming to Atchison next Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock kickoff from Wilcox Stadium.
Certainly hope you've enjoyed Raven football this afternoon on Camp Radio. Again, the final score, Central Methodist 30, Benedictine 24. Until we greet you next time, Joseph, he's back in the studio, working his fingers to the bone all day and doing a great job of taking care of us. Joseph, we appreciate you. Craig Gus counts with you here in the booth. Tom counts. So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Benedictine Raven football on your local sports authority, KAIR Radio 93.7 FM, and streaming on MSCNews.net. Benedictine Raven football games are brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management.